Good afternoon. I call this meeting of the House Ways and Means Committee to order and note for the record that a quorum is present. And just a couple of announcements on the outset, being this is a full room. If you are here for the taxes bill, we will not be taking that up today. So that is going to fall off the agenda. Okay. And then we'll have a change in, we are going to go in the order that is on the agenda. And so, you know, we will get us through as many bills as we can in a reasonable amount of time today, taking breaks as necessary. But if you are here for a bill that's later in the agenda, you may be here a while. And then the only adjustment to the schedule I will note is we are going to be taking up the Commerce bill probably earlier in the agenda today due to a scheduling conflict with the bill author. We also have conference committees that are starting to meet today, too, so I'm cognizant of Representative Petersburg and Representative Hornstein need to be at a conference committee this afternoon, so we do want to take up and get through those bills and the mergers so that those two members can get to their conference committee. And then the other announcements on the outset is that the budget bills will be passed out being as if you wanted a paper copy and you noted that they will be passed out as we take them up. We usually have everything in our packets, but they didn't all fit. And so they will get passed out as we take up the bills. So that is that. And we'll just do what we can to get through our bills as we have a very full agenda in a full room, and just ask everyone if there's seats available, please take a seat so that the sergeants can maintain order and make sure that we keep voices down and decorum and all of that, as well as this is a full room and it can get hard to hear at times. So with that, we'll get started with the first piece of the agenda, which is the approval of the minutes from Wednesday, April 2024. Vice Chair Edelson, can I get a motion?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Any discussion to the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed, please say no. The motion prevails and the minutes have been adopted. So just a reminder, yesterday we took up three budget bills, the House File 4124, and we took up also the housing bill and the vets bill. And so when we have those come before our committee, we will not reopen the debate for that. We will just be using them, bring them before us for procedural motions to merge them. And so we will not need the bill authors to do any more on that, but we will have them make some motions and be a part of that. But I think we made that clear yesterday. And we are not going to be handing out those bills again, but I think some members did keep those in their packets in case they needed them. And with that, we will begin. So the first bill we're going to put in front of us is Representative Lilly, House File 4124, the legacy bill. So again, this is a procedural motion as this bill was vetted yesterday. So with that, Representative Lilly moves House File 4124 as amended be placed on the general register. And Representative Lilly, I believe you just had a few comments to the motion.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for moving the bill and our discussion yesterday. And again, appreciate member support, and it's a lot of good work has been done in that space, and hopefully you can the state can pay attention to that. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Lilly. And with that, Representative Lilly renews his motion that House File 4124 be placed on the general register. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, please say no.
No.
The motion prevails and the bill has been placed on the general register. Okay. The next order of business today is before we take up any more budget bills, we need to offer an amendment to the budget resolution. And so I move the 2024 House budget resolution coded Bud Res 04-1. And I move the A01 amendment to the budget resolution, and I'm going to have Ms. Adrians walk through that as well as note the handout in the packet. Ms. Adrians.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. So you'll notice in your packets that you have a fiscal note that is for the bill House File 4659, and this fiscal note, we just received it yesterday. So in order to accommodate this last minute change, we are changing the labor committee's target amount. So the previous amount was $9.571 million, and if you look at the tracking sheet, you can see on line 20, what this amendment does is it increases that amount to $11.307 million. And that's the only change that this amendment to the budget resolution does. And it does not change the overall number that the budget resolution previously accommodated.
Thank you, Ms. Adrian's discussion. Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Two questions. One, is this to accommodate the helium bill? Is that the change?
Representative, I'll go to Ms. Adrian's. No, I don't believe so.
No, Madam Chair and Representative Garofalo, what the bill was, it's a broadband bill, so it is an increase of $1.736 million per year for FTEs for DEED.
And then
Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair, or Ms. Adrian's. What's the bottom line number at now?
Ms. Adrian's just said that it didn't change. So in terms of our overall spending remains the same. This just came out of the other bills, the remaining amount that wasn't put in a target. Representative Garofalo.
Right. So what is that number?
The total spending on the tracking sheet, we're still at the $487,841 million in fiscal year 2024.
Right, so,
or Ms. Adrian.
And Madam Chair and Representative Garofalo, so the $512.5 million, that number hasn't changed,
yep.
But there is some available funds at the bottom line, and I'll send that number to you,
okay.
Or I'll mention it for the committee in just a minute.
Thank you.
Any further discussion to the amendment to the budget resolution? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no.
No.
The motion prevails, and the amendment to the budget resolution has been adopted. And we need to adopt the budget resolution as amended. And so I move the adoption of the budget resolution coded Bud Res 04-1 as amended. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no.
No.
The motion prevails, and the amendment to the budget resolution has been adopted. And the budget resolution itself has been adopted. Okay. And Ms. Adrians, would you mind just sharing?
thank you for the minute, members. The number on the bottom line is about $24.7 million.
Okay. And on to the next item on the agenda, which is Representative Nelson. Oh, there he is. Okay, wonderful. Representative Nelson, welcome to the committee. So I move that House File 5217 before the committee. And so we'll do discussion of the bills and the amendments. And then after that, the motion will be to lay it over until we get through the rest of the bills that will be merged with. So with that, welcome to the committee. We have House File 5217 in front of us. Would you like to describe your bill, or would you like to move your A8 amendment or A9 amendment?
Why don't we do the amendments first, and then?
Okay, very good. I move the A8 amendment. So to the A8 amendment, Chair Nelson.
I don't have that in front of me.
We can get that to you. So the A8 is the appropriation. Would you like me to have House Fiscal? Would you like me to have Fiscal staff? Or you got it?
I got the amendment.
Okay.
Why don't you have Fiscal staff explain what it does? I believe this has to do with the Nursing Home Workforce Board, and it's actually savings from what's currently was adopted last year. But let the Fiscal staff explain it.
I see Ms. Roberts coming to yep. to walk through the amendment.
Madam Chair.
Oh, Representative Rarick.
Madam Chair, did you say the A8?
So we have, yes, in your packets are two amendments to House File.
Not in the packet.
That's not in the packet. We have A7.
Okay, I apologize. I have the A8 amendment for some reason. We'll make sure everybody gets an A8, and then the A9 amendment was handed out.
Yep.
Just pause for a second. We'll make, just time out. Good catch, Representative Rarick.
Yeah.
We'll get everybody the correct amendment.
Thank you.
Is this Garofalo joke time for us?
No.
No personalities.
The A7 is not the bill.
A7 is for a different bill.
Correct. Yep, just hold on. I don't have the A7. I don't know. Some members have that in their packet, so that should not be a part of this packet. So just hold the line.
Right. So don't get the A7 in a minute. What's going on?
We're getting it. All right, so we will make sure everybody gets the correct A8, and you all have the A9 amendment, though. That is correct.
No.
Hand it out? No. Yes, Representative Rarick is confirming you do have the A9. So the only amendment we need passed out right now is the A8 amendment.
Can you see the A9? Can I take a look?
All right, so here's what we're going to do. I see the pages do not have the copy, so we're going to get copies and get it to everyone. And then before we do that, then we'll take up the A9, which everyone does have. I have a motion on the A8. I'm going to withdraw my moving of the A8 amendment. And so now I move the A9 amendment. So Chair Nelson to the A9 amendment. Would you like to explain?
My understanding of the A9 amendment was just adopted as the increasing the target to deal with the additional FTEs that DEED is requesting for the broadband implementation portion of the bill.
Thank you, Chair Nelson. And so I think Ms. Adrian's already explained that. You have the fiscal notes in your packet to explain why this appropriation has changed. We amend the budget resolution to fit with this. Any discussion to the A9 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, please say no.
No.
The motion prevails and the A9 amendment has been adopted. So I think what I'll have you do, Chair Nelson, is walk through your bill while we figure out getting the A8 into members' packets.
Thank you, members. Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, originally, our labor committee was given a $1 million target. We only spent $571,000. That's true. My comma's in the right place here. This was for a cost to DLI for the workers' misclassification bill, House File 4444. It was also for possible costs, or it was for the OSHA rulemaking for the workers' lead level testing on workers. Part of this bill. It was also for possible costs for House File 3522, which is lowering the right for currently it's 20 employees or more. The employees have the right to look at their personnel files. This is lowering that. If you have one employee or more, they can also now have access to their employee file. This is thousands of employees across the state of Minnesota. Later on, the House File 4509, Representative Hornstein's bill, was added to us, and that had $9 million cost. That was added to our target. Our target was adjusted, I think it was just last week, to $9.571 million. There are also savings in the tails, and part of that is comes in with the A8 amendment, the savings to the nursing home workforce. There's savings there. There's a couple of other savings in the tails. And then just recently today, we added the $1.376 million for the additional employees for our FTEs for the broadband to DEED. So that's the bill. I mean, that's the fiscal part of the bill.
Thank you, Representative Nelson. Discussion to the bill. Representative Rarick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I have a concern. So House File 4508, which is the Jordan bill regarding University of Minnesota and PELRA. So I looked at the path of that bill in the Senate. And in fact, ironically, I happened to be sitting in the higher ed Senate hearing when this bill came through. Not because I had interest in it necessarily. I had interest in a person who was in the room. But nonetheless, it was... They had a very, very long, full hearing, very long hearing, very contentious hearing in the higher ed committee. That bill also went to state and local government. It didn't go to either of those committees here
here in the House. So, Attorney Nelson, why did that bill not get those proper hearings in the House? So, again, that's 4508.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Rarick. The higher ed chair, who I think is sitting over here, said he did not need to hear that bill. And the chair for the local government, state and local government, also did not, told me they did not need to hear that bill. We were asked to put in, we're covering the Pell costs. The department said they would cover those costs. And the rest of those costs are not part of what Department of Labor and Industry would normally carry. So that's why, like I said, they were asked about it, and we were told they didn't need to hear it.
Representative Rarick.
Well, yeah, and therein lies the problem. So that's a huge problem. So I have no idea how much it's going to cost the University of Minnesota and thereby raise tuition, because that's what they do. So I have no idea, because we didn't have a hearing in higher ed. There was not a hearing in state and local government, so I'm sure they have no idea about the PELRA implications or other implications, because it didn't go there. So I'm going to ask you, because you've got it in your bill and you chose to not send it to higher ed, what is it going to cost University of Minnesota to implement these changes?
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Rarick. I have not seen a fiscal note on that yet. It has not come through, so I do not know. And again, the PELRA costs, the Department of Labor and Industry that deals with that, they said they would cover those.
Representative Rarick.
So this is a problem. I mean, it's not, I don't know that you would get a fiscal note necessarily from the University of Minnesota. Maybe you would, maybe you wouldn't. But you certainly would get testimony as to the implications if it had gone to the higher ed committee. This should not be in your bill, because it hasn't been properly vetted in the House. So I oppose the bill just for that alone, and then not even to mention the fact that you've got the Greenman bill of the misclassification of employees, which we talked about at great length in here before already, because that's already headed to the floor. Unfortunately, we'll be hearing that on Monday on the floor, and yet it's also here, so it's got two paths. So it must really be important. This misclassification must be incredibly important to the Democrat majority, because it is going to be in a standalone bill on the House floor, and it is, again, in your bill here. So I'm not sure the choice for that, because we've gotten an entire packet of opposition to that bill alone. So I will leave it there.
Further discussion to the bill. Lean Garofalo.
Thank you, ma'am.
I'm sorry. Yep. I apologize. Representative Nash was on the list before you. I will come back to you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Coming off of Representative Rarick's question, has a fiscal note even been requested? I'm not sure. And Ms. Roberts might know if there has been one requested. And I understand that there's a logjam of fiscal notes, but process does matter.
Ms. Roberts, welcome to the committee.
Madam Chair and members, yes, a fiscal note has been requested. It is almost complete, but the University of Minnesota had not responded by the deadline. It may be completed soon.
Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I've lost count of the number of times that I've said this, but we move bills out before we actually understand the fiscal implication. And the other refrain that we've been hearing lately is, well, they're going to absorb that. So I think a great project for our research team, even though they're burdened, is go back and listen to the tape of the number of times that we've heard, oh, they'll absorb that. I mean, that the state must have a very dry sponge in a lot of different departments, because we keep hearing, oh, they're going to absorb that. They'll absorb that. It's fine. Don't worry. Don't lose your head, Republicans. They're going to absorb that. Well, at what point do we run out of sponges to absorb all this money that apparently is being spent but not actually appropriated? So thanks, Madam Chair.
Further discussion. Lead Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Nelson. The reality is that this bill, it lacks the level of bipartisan support that I believe we're going to need to see anything enacted, be signed into law by the end of this session. I would encourage you, Representative Nelson, to work with Representative McDonald, the Republican lead in the committee, so that those objectionable provisions in this bill can be removed, so we can have a bipartisan vote off the floor and a bipartisan vote for something in the Senate. Again, I recognize that this there's been a lot of changes this week at the legislature, and there is a new reality. I would just encourage, again, you to work with Representative McDonald, and we are here to help you achieve a bipartisan consensus and have an orderly end of session. I know there's going to be a lot of things happening in the next couple of weeks, but that'd be my recommendation to you. But in the meantime, I'll be opposing this bill in its current version. Thank you, Representative Nelson.
Seeing no further discussion, we'll take up the amendment that we should all now have, which is the A8 amendment. So I move the A8 amendment. So we'll have Ms. Do you want Ms. Roberts? Okay, great.
I'll let Ms. Roberts explain it, yes.
Okay.
Madam Chair and members, what the A8 amendment does is it increases the base for fiscal year 27 for the labor standards division in DLI by $69,000 a year. And this is related to a change that was made in the 2023 bill for the Nursing Homes Standards Board. The money was intended to be appropriated to DLI and then transferred to DHS, and that did not happen in this bill. The bill is at left committee, had just eliminated or adjusted the tails down, and at the request of the agencies, we've left the money now with this amendment in the DLI tails, and we'll, the discussion is about adjusting that in the next budget session.
Thank you, Ms. Roberts. Discussion to the A8. Great, seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, please say no.
No.
The motion prevails and the A8 amendment has been adopted. To your bill, Representative Nelson, as amended.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Again, this is a very straightforward bill. As to the question about House File 4444, and I understand that's moving forward also as an individual bill. If it passes and becomes law before we pass this bill, it's just like it normally happens, we'll take it out of our bill as an amendment because we don't need to pass it twice. So but the cost will still stay in this bill because DLI has to carry those costs. And again, that's part of the cost of this bill.
Thank you, Representative Nelson. And with that, House File 5217 as amended is laid over. Thank you.
Thank you.
So our next bill is House File 5242, Representative Hornstein, the Transportation Supplemental Budget Bill. And Representative Hornstein moves that House File 5242 be placed on the general register. So welcome to the committee, Representative Hornstein. We also have an amendment to the bill. But first, I'm actually going to turn over to Representative Hornstein. Had an announcement he wanted to make before he gets rolling on his bill. Representative Hornstein.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair and members. So an hour ago, I received some news from Boston that our first grandchild was born.
Hey!
It might be a little more scattered than usual in this bill presentation, but I'm extremely happy, and I'll be heading out to. There you go. I'll be heading out to Boston in a day or two, so we'll see.
Representative Hornstein, we're glad you're here celebrating by presenting this budget bill two ways and means.
Absolutely.
So
the big celebration.
So we have the bill in front of us. We also, you have an A33 amendment. Do you want to take that up first, or would you rather walk through your bill?
Yeah, this is a, well, we can take it up. It's a technical
We'll do that, then.
Amendment related to provision that we have on where money goes from a special license plate.
Great. So Representative Hornstein moves the A33 amendment, and you can just say a little bit more about that.
Maybe if Mr. Burris is here, he could probably.
All right, here he's making his way down.
Yeah.
Great. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and proceed.
Madam Chair and members, Matt Burris with House Research. The A33 amendment has a couple of elements to it. The first is to make a modification to a professional sports team special license plate that renames the plate and allows for a allocation of the plate donation funds to go towards the Minnesota Loon restoration project, so that a foundation would not need to be established by one of the professional sports teams. Let's see, then the second change is found on page 3 of the amendment, and that clarifies that a deadline extension is that's pushed out to 20 days in the bill is 20 calendar days. And then finally, there are a couple of technical cleanup items also on page 3, including to remove a effective date that's not really necessary.
Thank you. Discussion to the A33 amendment. Okay, seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The motion prevails and the A33 amendment has been adopted. To your bill as amended, Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. This bill is a bit leaner than the transportation bill we had last year. But there's still some Representative Garofalo.
I didn't say anything.
But we still have some important provisions. We had a limited target of $2 million. We're spending $1 million of that to help out small cities, even though small cities are getting substantial money in the out years. There's still an issue with this current cycle, and then we're also transferring money from the IIJA to supplement that, so small cities will get a total of $9 million. We have a series of rail safety, rail labor provisions in the bill. We also have a focus again on safety. We have $40 million of trunk highway cash to high priority bridges. Bridges again in the news, not just in Baltimore, but you know, here in the, Minnesota, we had a large feature in the Star Tribune recently about the state of our bridges. So we include that as part of our bill. Also, there's been an issue of we continue to have questions about testing from making sure that our constituents can get their driver's tests. So we add 8 additional testers even beyond what the governor had suggested. So I think that'll be very important for our constituents. We continue some of the work that we did last year on climate. Representative Kraft had some provisions last year that we've significantly improved upon in consultation with many stakeholders. There was a working group and many of their recommendations are included. This is basically a program to moving forward after 2025 to meet policy goals of reducing vehicle miles traveled on our roads, and then when there are major highway projects, that there are ways to offset the additional greenhouse gases that those cause. And then we also have some one-time money to ensure indemnification at the Union Depot so that the second train to Chicago can proceed and or proceed in a way that is more helpful to Amtrak, as they will have to lay over some trains there. And my understanding is that second train to Chicago will be up and running now in just a few weeks. And we've had good ridership on that train, and I think we're going to have good ridership on that second train. And then finally, we have a provision from Chair Lee, which we have scaled back based on some feedback we got in committee and in other places, for zero emission bus vehicle procurement. And so we are asking the Met Council to procure 50% of their buses, new bus purchases, as electric by 2030, and then have the whole entire procurement process by 2035. So those are some of the highlights of the bill, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Representative Hornstein. Discussion to the bill. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I don't know that I have necessarily any questions but comments in regards to the bill. And Representative Hornstein and I have worked both on this bill, and there are some parts of the bill that I really like and I support and are something that we need to do. There are some also some controversial parts of the bill, too, that tend to suffer primarily because we're trying to do kind of one size fits all in regards to that. Some of the areas that I think have some concern, and because we don't know exactly where this bill will actually end up being, if there's some additional negotiations moving forward, I'll just comment them on them now and let the rest of the fun happen on the floor if it makes that way. But one of them is in regards to some of our the programs that we have around new construction and new projects and whether or not they fit within parameters of climate change and so forth. Without having including safety, I don't believe Highway 14, which I've been pushing all my life practically, would not have been done. It is done now, but I don't think it would have been had this done and involved. You mentioned zero emission buses. When you look at the long-term cost, that's astronomical price tag, somewhere around $500 million, according to a fiscal note, is something else that's a concern. And I also have concerns in which we tried to help with trying to figure out whether or not we have preemption issues in regards to some of the railroad issues. And I think it's important for the commissioner to make sure that we have that satisfied before we proceed with some of these. Otherwise, we could find ourselves doing things that we're going to have to retract later. So those are some of the concerns I have for the bill and some of the things that I think we're going to have to discuss on the floor if we don't discuss it earlier. And for that, I will probably be voting no on this bill.
Further discussion to the bill. Lead Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Hornstein, so I had a constituent contact me who works as a yard master. And he was furious about the provision in this bill that limits his hours. He said that he and his coworkers, apparently they make a disproportional amount of their money in overtime, that this provision that's in the bill limits that, and he says none of them are asking for it and none of them want that. Do you know what the background is on this and who asked for this? Or because this is straight from the workers that are opposed to it.
Well, my thank you, Representative Garofalo, and Madam Chair, my understanding is this is coming from you look at yard masters as sort of like air traffic controllers in a sense. And so, you know, we want to make sure that, they're able to perform their duties and you know, they've 16, my understanding is they're 16-hour days, et cetera. And so I think this just comes out of a sense of, the safety of the workers, and that's really where it came from the union there.
Representative Grappa.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Hornstein. I won't talk about all the items in the bill, but I did get an opportunity to learn about the wayside detectors, or as I guess they're called hot box detectors.
Yeah.
That's what they are. Can you just talk about what hot box detectors are?
Well, these are.
How those work?
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Grappa. These are items that are, in a sense, early warning devices that are attached to the rail. And for example, if there's a wildfire or something else, they will be able to inform the engineer in a very more timely way. Also, if there's issues with track or the actual weight of the train itself, it's kind of an early warning system if there's a problem on the rail.
Representative Grappa.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And then just in closing, as always, it's nice to work with you, Representative Hornstein. Congratulations on the news. I would encourage you to please meet with Representative Petersburg before this bill gets to the floor. Again, we want to see an orderly end of session, and that's going to require bipartisan votes on from members of both parties. There are several objectionable provisions in this bill, in addition to the ones that I mentioned that would increase costs. There's blatantly unconstitutional provisions. The train length issue is one that's going to add more congestion to our rail lines. It's actually going to result in less likelihood that we're going to have passenger rail, which maybe I should just be quiet about that. On top of that, the higher insurance premiums for the crew vans, going from $1 million to $5 million, it's already substantially higher than most other states. That seems excessive and unnecessary. So I'll be voting no on your bill, but again, I recognize that we have had a lot of changes this week, and I know Representative Petersburg is available. You have a good relationship with him. I look forward to you guys working together before these provisions come to the floor. Thank you.
Great. And there is no more member seeking recognition, so I'll go to you, Representative Hornstein, to wrap up before we do our procedural motion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I take that to heart, Representative Garofalo. And, you know, there are probably a couple of different provisions that I think I can work with Representative Petersburg on before we get to the floor, and I'll certainly commit to that. And as you said, we have a good, we've had a great relationship over the years. I'll miss him, and but I think that that's a good suggestion, and I'll take that to heart.
Thank you, Representative Hornstein. Anything more before we to your bill? Or
no, thank you, members, for hearing this bill, and the questions that you've asked are ones I'm familiar with, and but I think we can address some of them before we head to the floor.
Great. Thank you, Representative Hornstein. So we now will have a series of motions where we start in votes to merge the transportation, labor, and housing budget bills. As a reminder, we heard the housing bill yesterday, obviously just heard the transportation and labor bills. So I'm gonna start with the housing bill, Representative Howard. Representative Howard, or I'm gonna start with the housing bill. So Representative Howard, would you like to move the language contained in House File 4194 to be incorporated into the Transportation, Labor, and Housing Bill as separate articles?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Wonderful. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, please say no.
No.
The motion prevails, and we have now merged Transportation, Labor, and Housing Bills as separate articles. So next, I move the language in House File 5217 as amended be incorporated in the Transportation, Labor, and Housing Bill as separate articles. This is the labor bill now. Any discussion to that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, please say no.
No.
The motion prevails. And last merger motion here. This is transportation. Representative Hornstein, would you move that the Representative Hornstein? We need to get him a seat at the table. Representative Hornstein, would you move the language in House File 5242 as amended be incorporated in the Transportation, Labor, and Housing Bill as separate articles?
That's my motion, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Hornstein. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, please say no.
No.
The motion prevails. And lastly, Representative Hornstein, don't move. One more thing for you to do, and then you really can go look at baby pictures on your phone.
How did you know that's what I was doing?
All right. So Representative Hornstein moves that House File 5242 as amended be placed on the general register and that nonpartisan staff be directed to make technical changes as necessary. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, please say no.
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 The motion prevails. So I think now we are done with that whole piece. So thank you, Representative Hornstein. Thank
Sorry
you.
Sorry about that, Madam Chair.
No, you're doing great. Representative Hornstein, thank you. Representative Howard, Representative Nelson. So that concludes our merger of those bills. And so now we are going to take up the commerce bill at this time. So I move that House File 5295 be before the committee. And just a reminder, this bill will be laid over and merged with bills later in the agenda. So, but we are taking this up here. So we'll just give a minute here to get settled.
but I'm Ryan.
Oh, the A7 is for this. No, I think we'll try to. Well, I'm going to do it.
Yeah. I got to use the bathroom.
I think you could do that. Okay.
Well, thanks.
So
I
for those,
really,
for those that are exiting, if you could just exit quietly, we're going to proceed with the next bill on the agenda. So we have the. I've already moved House File 5295 before the committee. As I mentioned, it'll be laid over. And I also move the A7 amendment. So Representative Katiza Watoon, welcome to the committee.
Thank
and
you,
so Madam would Chair. You just explain this amendment, please?
Yes. So the amendment addresses concerns that were raised in committee last week about funds being taken away from youth prevention services. And so now this amendment will require that the $5.5 million appropriation for substance use disorder grants be in part targeted toward youth prevention programs additionally. So
thank you. Any discussion to the A7? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The motion prevails, and the A7 amendment has been adopted. And so to your bill as amended, Representative Katiza Watoon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And members, I know you have a full agenda on your schedule today, so I will be brief. House File 5295 meets the Commerce Committee budget target of a savings of $5,499,000 in the biennium and a spending of $1,738,000 in the tails. The Commerce Committee supplemental budget is in three parts. Number one is the governor's supplemental budget for the Commerce Department, which provides a much needed increase in funding for the Commerce Fraud Bureau, which is the state's premier law enforcement agency combating insurance fraud and wage theft. These assessments have not increased in decades, and without it, the agency would be forced to lay off staff. Further, it eliminates an appeals fee when a consumer appeals an adverse determination by a health insurer. The second portion, the governor's supplemental budget for the Office of Cannabis Management, which transfers appropriations from the Department of Health to the Office of Cannabis Management for enforcement of hemp-derived cannabinoid regulations. It also reduces existing funding at the Department of Health to fund a state reference laboratory at the Office of Cannabis Management. And finally, it transfers a $5.5 million appropriation for substance use disorder grants from the Office of Cannabis Management to the Department of Health. As amended by the A7, this appropriation must fund youth prevention efforts. And then part three is House File 2309 from Representative Elkins, which appropriates money to the Attorney General's office to enforce the Minnesota Consumer Data Privacy Act. That is the bill in a nutshell, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Katiza Watoon. And I will note that the spreadsheet in the packets does not actually match the commerce bill, which I'm sure most people probably noticed. Mm-hmm. So that is for the tax bill, which I mentioned we won't be taking up, but you can just set it aside. And you should have also the spreadsheet, the larger document that does match with the commerce bill that we're taking up. So just wanted to note that. Any discussion to the bill? Lead Garofalo.
Thank you. And Representative Katiza Watoon, on page 10, Article 3, Section 2, we see that we're seeing assessments that are doubling effective this year. Is that the revenue increase that I see on line 17 of the spreadsheet?
Representative Katiza Watoon, and we can also have nonpartisan
sure.
staff
yep.
if that's helpful, too.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So just to make sure I'm looking at the right, you said page 10.
The top of page 10, it's Article 3, Section 2. This looks like this is where there's a doubling of assessments, and I'm asking if that's what's carried on line 17 of the spreadsheet.
Thank you for that, Representative Garofalo. And yes, I would ask House Fiscal to walk us through those provisions.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and proceed.
Madam Chair and members, Ashley Eng from House Fiscal. Representative Garofalo, that is correct. The insurance company assessment increase.
Okay. And
Lead Rock.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Katiza Watoon, I recognize you're stepping in for Chair Stevenson here. So just in light of the fact that we've had a massive budget surplus and spending went up by almost 40%, why are you guys raising fees this year?
Representative Katiza Watun.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's my understanding that these fees have not been raised in decades, so this is just a something that's been included, and if Ms. Eng has anything to add.
Ms. Eng.
Madam Chair, this was the governor's recommendation, and it's included on page 31 of the all funds by agency. The funds will be used to support Commerce Fraud Bureau agent salary costs, as well as operations and administration of fraud investigations by the Department of Commerce.
Lead Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you to our nonpartisan research and Representative Katiza Watun. Obviously, with the unprecedented resources government has, we can certainly fund these things without raising insurance costs. And ultimately, these costs get passed on to consumers in every way, shape, and form. So I don't have any questions, but I'll just, again, this is more of a comment for Representative Stevenson later on when he returns, is that that's one of many items that would be objectionable in this bill and is unlikely to acknowledge the new reality we live in for this session, that we're going to need to work together. And it's going to take bipartisan votes for anything to become a law. So, again, there are several other objectionable provisions in this bill, but that's one I just wanted to highlight. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Further discussion to the bill? Seeing none, final word, Representative Katiza Watun.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I appreciate the discussion today. In lieu of Chair Stevenson being present, I think that the committee has done a lot of great work together. We have a lot of bipartisan initiatives over this session and last session, and I appreciate your support.
Thank you very much. And with that, House File 5295 has been laid over. And the next we have is House File 2476, Representative Pinto, Children and Families Supplemental Budget Bill. Representative Pinto moves that House File 2476 be placed on the General Register. So, Representative Pinto, you also have an A1 amendment. Would you like to move that now?
I have no fewer than two authors, Madam Chair.
We'll start with
So, start with the A1. Yeah. Yes, so I'd like to move that. And Chair, would you like me to just explain it?
Yes, please.
So, members, the A1 just makes a couple minor changes to the bill, which is the Children and Family Supplemental Budget Bill. It adds the BCA representative to a fatality review team when a child dies because of maltreatment. It removes the transfer of a homeless youth cash stipend program that's currently at DHS. The bill would move it to the new agency, DCYF. The amendment just takes that away, leaves it at DHS along with other homelessness programs. And then you'll see two provisions that confirm that if there's an appropriation that is enacted more than once, it only takes effect once, and then some expiration of uncodified language, and that's it.
Thank you, Representative Pinto. So discussion to the A1 amendment. Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, please say no. The motion prevails, and the A1 amendment has been adopted. So, Representative Pinto, I'll have you describe your bill, and then we'll take up the A2 because I think it will be more clear once you've described your bill. So please proceed with your bill as amended.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. So, members, House File 2476, again, is the Children and Family Supplemental Budget Bill, and it contains provisions and funding related to several areas. So a key area is child protection. There's funding to begin the replacement of a key IT system called SSIS, which whenever we've tried to have reforms in child protection, we keep on running up against this system from the late 1990s. It's a real problem, and some changes beginning to replace that. Reforms in the fatality review, as I mentioned earlier with that amendment, establishing a council on child protection to look at reform of this really complicated, important system. Several other provisions as well, including funding to support when a child cannot be with their parent, to place the child with a relative or other kin, which is really important. Second area is food security. There's been a massive spike in Minnesotans going hungry even in the last year, and so investments in food shelves, food banks, and in a summer EBT program, electronic benefits program, that will unlock about $100 million in federal funding in exchange for about $10 million in state funding. Third topic area is homelessness. Again, we've seen a real spike even since our funding from last spring. So there is investment in that area aimed at communities that have had an increase in homelessness or where there's a risk of a shelter closing. The fourth area is child care and early learning. Some reforms there in terms of the regulations that are in place, funding to improve skills and credentials for early childhood educators, and also an entire article in the early learning space that will end up being the subject of the amendment that's going to be coming that is mostly from the administration making several adjustments, but including increases for pre-K. And then the final piece is the new agency, the Department of Children, Youth, and Families, providing both funding for central office personnel and also moving some additional programs and expanding on the recodification that, we passed through maybe a month and a half ago. So making sure that that department is off to a good start and has a solid foundation. Those are the five areas. I'll maybe just note most of the bill and all the funding is in the human services side of our budget, and so that the plan is to advance that through Ways and Means to the floor. The one article, I think it's Article 6, but I guess we'll, it might be Article 5. No, it is Article 6, is in the early learning side, Department of Education. There's no target in that space, and the amendment will eventually take that article out, and there's a provision, a couple provisions that will move to Chair Joachim's bill, for which I'm grateful. And so that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative Pinto. And I know we have member discussion. I think we'll do the A2, and then we'll go to member discussion if that's okay with folks. And so, Representative Pinto, do you want to move the A2 amendment and walk us through it? You just mentioned a little bit, but
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Yeah, so I do move the A2. And so, members, it's Article 6 starting on page 51. And what the A2 will do is take this article out of the Children and Families Bill. Most of the provisions are already carried in the Education Finance Bill, which we'll be hearing next from Chair Joachim. There will be an amendment that I'll be offering at that time to add just the two provisions that are not currently in Chair Joachim's bill. Those are sections 2 and 3 of this bill. Again, the amendment is going to take out the whole article, but then in the next bill, the plan is to add those two sections and carry them to conference in order to match up with how the Senate is structuring their accounts. So I'd ask for member support.
Thank you, Representative Pinto. Discussion to the A2 amendment. Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, please say no. The motion prevails and the A2 amendment has been adopted. So discussion to the bill. Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Pinto, I apologize. I was looking through some paperwork when you started speaking. Did you address an expenditure for an update in an IT system? Is that one? Did you say something to that effect?
Representative Pinto.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Scott, yes. It's called SSIS, and so this will begin to replace that system.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And how much was the allocation for that?
Representative Pinto.
From Madam Chair, Representative Scott, it's $9 million in the bill.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'm not denying that that archaic system needs to be updated, but what I don't understand is why, for the love of Pete, it wasn't included last year when you guys were spending barrels and barrels of money, and now all of a sudden we see it here as a priority.
Representative Pinto.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Scott, I'm very frustrated about that myself. We met the entire request from the administration for IT funding, every single dollar coming through Children and Families. And I will tell you that shortly before the end of session, it kind of emerged that the funding that went in last year, the systems are so old and so broken that the funding that went in basically causes the systems not to fall apart. But as far as actually being improved, my understanding is the funding that went in last year had that effect and did not in fact replace it. I would have loved, and believe me, I think last year we would have been in position to put in a lot more than $9 million as well. Replacing SSIS is going to cost considerably more than that. We are where we are, but I'm extremely frustrated with that as well. I can assure you that if I had realized that was what was going on a year ago, I would be in a very different position, and I think we all would.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, Representative Pinto, you mentioned meeting all the administration's needs. You know, we're a separate body from the administration, and sometimes we just have to put our foot down and say, no, these are the real priorities that we should have. And so I don't understand why we're here at this point after having increased the state budget 37%+ last year, why this couldn't have been a priority of the administration, but mostly of the legislature. And so I don't know why we're here, you know, in the 11th hour taking up these large spending bills, omnibus bills, that quite frankly, if you couldn't prioritize something like this with a 18 to 21 billion dollar budget surplus, I don't know what would rise to a priority. So it's just frustrating. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Madam Chair, can I
Representative Pinto?
Just briefly, I just want to know for Representative Scott and all. So the GOP members of Children and Families actually offered an amendment in committee to increase the $9 million, put even more in. My thinking, recognition of kind of where we are. So I am completely with you. I'm very frustrated. But just to recognize that the Children and Families members on both sides, I think, view this as a very high priority to do now, regardless of how we got here. Thanks, Chair.
Representative Freesha.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Chair Pinto, a couple of nods to you. First of all, thank you for keeping your word. You and I talked about the child fatality and mortality review, and you working on that as well as the child maltreatment issues, and agree on the software, the increases that need to be done there. Also, I want to call out, you navigated the situation quite well, where we were looking at questions around the family assessment versus the investigation track, and frankly, that was just well done, and that could have been a very difficult piece coming through this, so I appreciate all that. As I look at the bill here in this current form, I can't support it. I think we're still missing the mark with the exclusion of the Minnesota African American Preservation Act, and there's a great disappointment around the exclusion of the Great Start Affordability Scholarship. We've heard for many, many years about the importance of child care, and in fact, there was many speeches given from the Democrat and the majority party about funding more child care and handling that. And with all the increases in funding and the money that was spent last year and frankly, a $730 million new building, it seems that that's falling on deaf ears. And I think there's lots of advocates still screaming for that. So I can't support this bill in this format with the current provisions. I'm hoping under the new reality that we're going to see some additional conversations, and perhaps working with Chair Daniels, we'll be able to get to some agreement about some ideas and possibly even get a little bit more funding for the SSI model. So with that, good luck with your bill, Chair Pinto.
Thank you.
Representative Rarick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just really quickly, just a small provision in here. So there's $100,000 for pregnant and parenting homelessness youth study, and the Wilder Foundation was specifically allocated for that, so they could do it. And they do a great job. I you know, been there many times. They host amazing meetings. But in contrast to that, you had for House File 5036, I got also about emergency shelter. You didn't specifically call out the Wilder Foundation or appropriate to the Wilder Foundation, and it's a much more vague language. I believe you changed the language to with a third-party entity with experience conducting research related to youth experiencing homelessness. Very, very open and vague. And can you just let us know who are we thinking about there? I mean, why not the Wilder Foundation? And if not them, then since you didn't list somebody specifically and you went to a very vague terminology, who could apply for that? What does that mean?
Representative Pinto.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks, Representative Rarick. So that's on page 22 for those who are interested. And so, Representative Rarick, we're actually hoping that Wilder might do that, but it sounds like Wilder said that they'd rather not. I mean, they're focused on the pregnant, parenting, homeless youth. That's going to be a different study. We're still looking at possibly who could be that third-party entity. I actually hope that perhaps even before the bill would get to the floor, we'd be able to name one. But for now, you'll see that this is specifically talking about the kind of characteristics of the entity that could be hired. But as far as why it wouldn't be Wilder, just Wilder, it sounded like was not, didn't feel like they would be quite the right people to receive that funding and to lead that. But I'm sure we will find somebody that is, and you'll obviously get a chance to see that if we can. Otherwise, we've got the characteristics listed in the bill for DHS to use in the contract.
Representative Rarick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I know that you had initially had in a specific nonprofit that was not Wilder. I'm very familiar with Wilder. Our Space Minnesota. So that was stricken, and this more broad language was put in. What was the reasoning behind that? Representative, if you had somebody specific, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thanks, Representative Rarick. Yeah, well, it seemed like it made more sense to have, so our space has some particular expertise. We want to make sure we've got broad expertise. Just seemed like it made sense in the meantime to say that we would spell out the characteristics of what we're looking for an entity and to do it that way. So, yeah, I mean, it's just this, as you know, when you're trying to kind of work these things through, there's kind of a series of steps that you go through. And so an earlier draft, it was a different entity. I've already said we've sort of considered Wilder. We mentioned our space, as you said. I'm kind of looking through to find what's going to be the right home to do this really, really important work to make sure that our LGBTQIA plus youth get the kind of support for emergency shelter that they need.
Final. Representative Rarick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, well, if you don't find anybody, then will this be stricken from the bill? If Wilder doesn't want to do it, can't do it, and the other group that you said you had stricken earlier. So if there's, if somebody doesn't percolate up, if there's no one that can do the work, then will you remove that appropriation of $100,000?
Representative Pinto.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thanks, Representative Rick. I mean, if I'm looking at lines 22.5, 22.8, I mean, I guess if DHS is unable to find a third-party entity with the relevant experience to do that work, then the money would not be spent on the study. I mean, it's a really important study. So I guess if we don't identify an entity in the next couple weeks, that, to my mind, is not a sign that there is no such entity that would do this really important work. So I wouldn't anticipate that we would cancel the section altogether. I mean, we would simply say, DHS, this is who you need to work with, and we know we've got really important work to be done.
Representative Rarick.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. So if we don't find somebody, it'll just cancel back to the general fund, I'm assuming then, Madam Chair.
Representative Pinto.
Thanks, Chairman. I suppose as with any grant, right, I mean, if you can't find somebody to do the work, I would feel pretty confident, though, that we can find somebody to do this really important work.
Further discussion? Lead Garofalo.
Thanks.
Seeing no further discussion, I'll go to Chair Pinto for the last word.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Thanks so much for the discussion, members. I guess I've appreciated the kind words from Representative Kreisha about the child protection work that we've done together and will continue to do. I do want to note you'd mentioned the African American Family Preservation Act. I know Representative Bagbaje is working really hard on that, and there's a lot of conversations going that is moving separately and in various places. So that remains an incredibly high priority to make sure to address disparities in our child protection system. And I appreciate the words of support for the Great Start Affordability Scholarship. I know Representative Khadija-Batoon would appreciate any co-authors, and we'll get that out to you, and we'd love to get folks' support. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Representative Pinto. And with that, Representative Pinto renews his motion that House File 2476, as amended, be placed on the general register. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, please say no.
No.
The motion prevails, and House File 2476, as amended, has been placed on the general register. Our next up is House File 5237, Representative Yu Akeem, the Education Finance Supplemental Budget Bill.
All right. Chair Yu Akeem, do you want to move, walk us through your bill?
All right.
Oh, you didn't move it. Oh, excuse me. Chair Yu Akeem, I move 5237 be before the committee. Chair Yu Akeem, do you want to walk us through your bill?
Thank you, Chair Edelson. With that, good afternoon, members. I would like to thank you for your attention. I know it's a little noisy, as people leave. But before you use a bill that builds on investments we made last session, provides our districts flexibility and funds for innovation, puts more teachers in our schools, and keeps more students in our classrooms, takes a comprehensive look at some of the larger investments that we made last session, and brings more of our students' voices to the Capitol. We do a lot with our $43 million one-time target in this bill. You can see that in the change-only items spreadsheet in your packets, as well as the fuller spreadsheet from last session. In this bill, we are building on last year's investment in the READ Act with an additional $37.225 million. The number one request Representative Edelson heard from our school administrators, teachers, and literacy experts was the need for funds to pay teachers for training they receive either outside the school day or funds to help hire substitute teachers if the training was done during school hours. This bill has just over $31 million dedicated just to that piece. We also provided needed flexibility to our school districts with the $35 million of curriculum funding that was originally set aside in last year's READ Act. We get that money out to our schools much sooner and with much more flexibility. We invest in getting more teachers in our classroom with a special education teacher apprenticeship program and a bill from Rep. Clardy. We increased access to the special education teacher pipeline dollars with Representative Bennett's bill. We used Representative Norris's bill to create a student teacher stipend pilot project to see if receiving a stipend while student teaching will help remove barriers to completing teacher training. As we heard in testimony during committee, student absenteeism is a large concern for our school administrators and our families across the state. Representative Keeler and Representative Bakeberg proposed a task force to take a deep dive into the data around student absenteeism, and we funded it with this bill. We also crafted a three-year pilot program from Representative Sensor-Murrah's absenteeism bill that will have 9 school districts from across the state participate in collaboration with regional demonstration projects. And finally, we invested in the Minnesota Promise Fellows Program, an AmeriCorps partnership that focuses on engagement and attendance of students in grades 6 through 12. And I know all of us around this table know it's important for our students to be civically engaged and to keep them at the center when making decisions in our education realm. With that in mind, we invest in both the Youth and Government's Bill of Representative Greenman's and Minnesota Youth Alliance with Representative Sensor-Murrah's bill. You know, as I watched our students participate in the legislative process over the last few years, I know that our Minnesota's future is in really good hands. The bill also allocates a pot of money reserved in last year's budget bill to the start of the expansion of the voluntary pre-K program in fiscal year 25 rather than fiscal year 26. Our TAILS target is where you find that levy equalization cost to neutralize the impact of the VPK expansion on our local property taxes, and a fix for the school districts who had an adjustment above the compensatory aid formula. We will continue our discussions around the best way to distribute compensatory aid to our schools next session. Finally, there are many other smaller provisions in the bill that you can see reflected on the spreadsheet, as well as no-cost items. Members, we set a 2-year budget last session for our schools. There is a smaller supplemental budget this session, and we have been provided with the opportunity to invest a little bit more in the education arena once again this year. I believe that we made good use of those funds in the piece of legislation that is before you, and I will stand for questions.
Thank you, Chair Youakim. And before we go to member discussions, let's go ahead and merge the bill. Representative Pinto, would you move the A3 amendments, which will merge in the early ed articles, Article 6 with Article 10.
Yes, that is my motion, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Pinto. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. Yes.
Just go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead and finish.
Those opposed say nay. The amendment passes. Thank you, Representative Groff.
Madam Chair, neither Representative Pinto or Representative Joaquim. So are these traveling in both? Because we passed that to the Pinto bill to the general register. Are these carried in both of them or separately?
Go ahead, Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Garofalo, so not traveling in both. So we just sent to the general register the human services articles from Children and Families, and then we deleted the early education article, and now we've just grabbed the portions of that article that weren't already in the Joaquim bill and put them in the Joaquim bill.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Representative Garofalo. All right. Members to the bill then. Discussion to the bill. Representative Krisha.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And first of all, thank you, Chair Joaquim, for working together and all the good work in the community, or committee, excuse me. As we look at this and in this current form, I would, again, oppose this as I did in committee. We still have, I think, some areas that we could improve on this. And with the new reality and how we're going to have to get votes through the Senate and here, there might be an opportunity to add and reshape some of the policy in here. There's a lot of good work in here, and lots of kudos to the READ Act as we look at that. But when we heard the school groups that generally spoke in favor, many of them also talked about the lack of removing some mandates. And in fact, we add another mandate here with the health standards. We take that from our local schools. I really would have liked to seen the roofing provisions added to the long-term maintenance money. That would have helped much in the rural areas. And so with that, I would oppose the bill. I do appreciate the lunch furniture, and we're looking at some of the flexibility as we talk about. We're going to need that, and we're going to carry food service fund balances through the year. So I think that'll be an opportunity that we'll be able to talk about as we move forward. So with that, I'm sure there will be a lot more conversation as we move to the House floor, but don't need to belabor that much here.
Thank you, Representative Krisha. Representative Groffel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Joachim, just so your bill is traveling with these provisions. This is also a House file. Do you know yet if your bill is going to be the one that gets over to the Senate, or is there going to be a Senate file coming over to swap it out? Because all we're seeing are House files today. Do we know yet which omnibus bills are going to be House files or Senate files?
Chair Joachim.
Chair Edelson, I believe this is a House file.
Representative Groff.
Thank you. And do we know which ones are going to be Senate files, or are we going to be sending all these over to the Senate?
Chair Joachim.
Chair Edelson, Representative Grafflow, I am just concentrating on our education bill and also the good work the House is going to do, regardless of what the Senate is doing.
Thank you.
Leah Grafflow.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Joachim. Regarding the work that the House has done, obviously an unprecedented expansion of spending in education spending last year. Why are so many more districts in financial trouble now, despite all these additional funds that have been provided?
Chair Joachim.
Chair Edelson, that's about a 20-year question to answer. So when I started doing advocacy work 20 years ago, our districts were struggling then. We've had 20 years of underfunding. Three of those 20 years was a 0% increase. So when you look at compounding interest, it's really hard to climb out of that hole. So we filled about a third of the hole last year. We still have a lot of work to do in that area, and that is why some of our districts are still facing some fiscal constraints. That's also why it was a great idea for us to index the formula to inflation last year so that they can have some stability moving forward when they make budget plans, so they can do that in a more efficient way as well. And so that we can also do some more things with ongoing funds. Representative Chair Lead Krisha had mentioned the LTFM, the Long-Term Facilities Maintenance Funding, that we could do with the roofs that had ongoing costs, and we didn't really have a tails target. It was just mostly the levy interactions. So there's a lot of areas where we also want to do some reformulation. We need to rebase the equalization formula for the local operating revenue. That's sitting at $2013 dollars. So there's a lot of ongoing costs that we need to do to help our districts get back on their feet. So I'm very proud of the work we did last year, but there's still work to be done.
Leah Grafflow.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Joachim. So I understand how people can reference historical decisions and say they have an impact on the past, but why is it that things have gotten worse? I can understand why things have not improved to the degree that or reached a perfect state, but why have so many districts' financial situation gotten worse after last year's bill?
Chair Joachim.
Chair Edelson, I don't know if they got worse after last year's bill. I know that during COVID, a lot of our districts were hitting struggles in keeping their budgets intact and helping serve the students that were in front of them. Districts got federal money, ESSER money. Some districts decided to use it as one-time money, as they should. Some districts didn't. We have local control. Districts make those budgetary decisions. So we do 38% of our state budget goes to our schools, and we work in partnership with them to make sure we're meeting the needs of Minnesota students.
And Madam Chair,
Leah Grafflow.
Thank you, and Representative Joachim, do you think that maybe possibly one of the reasons why our school districts are under increased duress is because of all the mandates the legislature passed last year?
Chair Joachim.
Chair Edelson, I think we should have that on a bingo card somewhere because I keep hearing it. So the numbers that have been thrown around are not accurate. I have a list. I've offered to sit down with anybody who'd like to go through them. There were not as many as everybody is saying. We funded a lot of them. We partially funded others. And when we talk about mandates and we talk about underfunding in our schools, we've also underfunded our job in policy and directing where those dollars should go. So there was a pent-up energy around policy as well as funding for our districts. And we do spend money, and we want to have accountability, not just to our taxpayers, but to our students in our classrooms, to make sure that they are receiving the education that they need. And that's why we direct money to the districts, tell them in some cases how they're supposed to spend it, but they have a great portion of their average daily membership makes up about 80% of their funding streams, and that is money they get to choose whatever they want to do with. When we talk about mandates or different categoricals, those deep dives into what type of students they're serving, and there are some directions around that, as they should. We create laws here. Laws are mandates.
Lee Gruffalo, do you have any follow-up?
Yep. Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Yukim, thank you for that answer. And as this bill goes forward, I'm hoping that we can see some items removed from it and also some things added to it. And one of the things I think that we can all agree to is to have some sort of holiday for the mandates you guys imposed on them to provide some mandate relief to our school districts. That's, as everyone knows, mandate relief is just as good as new money. And it's clear, at least from the districts I represent and the feedback I'm getting from school board members, that they actually would have been, and they've said this to me in writing, that for our districts, they would have been better off not getting the new money and mandates as opposed to just having existing funds. They financially would have been better off. Every district is different, and I would just say that as we go forward, I'm hoping you'll be able to be available to work with Representative Carisha. I think a mandate relief holiday is something that would be something that you would see this side of the aisle be supportive of, something that I think we could use to have bicameral bipartisan support, and I would urge you to explore it, explore that idea. But, Madam Chair, I'll be voting no on this bill today, but look forward to this bill improving before it comes up on the House floor. Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative, or excuse me, Chair Youakim.
Yes, I just want to thank members for their time and attention today. And my door is always open. That is why you have the lunchroom bill that you have before us. A principal came forward, said we want some flexibility here. It's easy to talk about mandates and putting words on bumper stickers, but what the real work is done is in the policy that we do here and the discussions that we have. Always open to looking at those bills. A mandate holiday sounds cute, doesn't quite work when there's requirements at the federal level that we would lose money on if we did that, and our schools would be in much worse shape then. So, members, I think we have a very good bill in front of us that builds on the large investments we made in our schools last year, and it does it in a targeted and efficient manner, and I would appreciate your support moving forward. Thank you.
With that, Chair Youakim renews her motion that House File 5237 as amended be placed on the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay.
No.
The bill is headed to the General Register. Next up is 3911, Representative Hansen.
I'm not going to take out. Have fun with that one.
Chair Hansen. All right. So Chair Hansen moves that 3911 be before the committee. Oh, I will move. Oh, he's not on the committee. All right. Thank you. I'll move that 3911 be before the committee. Chair Hansen, you have the A12 amendment. I will move the A12 amendment. Would you like to explain the amendment?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. The A12 amendment, I think, helps build a base for broad bipartisan agreement. Yesterday in the Environment Committee, we heard a provision relating to helium production, and Minnesota currently does not have any rules or requirements relating to helium or other gases, and we heard that bill, and we are putting this into House File 3911 with this amendment, the bill that was heard yesterday. Very important, very critical that we have something in place right now. In addition, we're fixing a general fund issue created in a delay in one of the provisions. We're deleting the MLCAT sweep. We still provide notification to the counties if there was a raid on MLCAT and Cliff. We are deleting the private right of action in Representative Lee's bill. Like I mentioned, we add the helium provisions, and we deleted all the sustainable aviation fuel criteria relating to that in the bill. So that is the A12 amendment.
Discussion to the A12, Representative Gruffalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Hansen, just to be clear, is the entirety of the Lisle-Gard bill from your committee yesterday contained in this amendment?
Chair Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Lisle-Gard bill as amended in committee, yes, okay. Unanimous vote out of our committee yesterday.
Perfect. And Madam Chair, if I could just take a brief minute. This is, you know, there's things at every legislative session where there are things that we would like to do or we want to do, and there's things that we need to do. The Lisle-Gard bill is something we need to do. This is an incredible opportunity for the state of Minnesota. And if I could just dovetail a little bit with Chair Akin's jurisdiction here. So for those that don't know, they found a large helium deposit up in northern Minnesota. And to committee yesterday when they testified, they said just that one well is $1 million worth of helium a day, that they're able to take $1 million every day. Also, there appears to be a lot of indications that there is geological hydrogen, a naturally forming hydrogen up there. And it's a big if, but if that's the case, we are going to have a solution for us that would provide all the energy benefits of fossil fuels with the benefits of renewables having no pollution. So you would have dispatchable energy that's super cheap and would have zero pollution. The only downside would be like Representative Akin and I wouldn't have anything to fight about anymore, right?
We'll find something.
We'll find something, yeah. But I mean, we're talking a technology, and again, it's an if, okay? We're talking billions of dollars of savings to ratepayers. We're talking about having emissions-free, like the Iron Range could literally be the powerhouse for the state of Minnesota and the region. These are all ifs, but there's a lot of the Mid-Continental Rift in Nebraska and Kansas. They found these things. The things they need to have naturally forming hydrogen are they need iron-rich rock and water, which we have that. This is one of these things that all members, whether you're from northern Minnesota or you care about energy policy or like you want to keep an eye on this, this is a potential to be a serious game changer. And so did you pass the list of the guard bill yesterday? Is that going by itself as well, or is this going to be the only vehicle for that language?
Chair Hansen.
Madam Chair and Representative Garofalo, my understanding on this is that we send it here, but it gets captured by rules and would have to be considered by rules. We want to make sure that we are, you know, I'd like to be flexible in terms of providing choices here, and you know, we're adding this in here because it is so important.
Yep.
And I think it is something that could hopefully lead to bipartisan support, because I think we do all agree on this provision that we need to do something. And so for members, I would encourage them to watch yesterday's hearing. I think it was a good hearing. Gets the facts out there. We wanted to make sure that we had an actual hearing with testimony on this, because this could be the, like you just said, this could be the most important thing we do this session.
Absolutely. And Madam Chair.
Wait, Ruffalo.
Yeah, and thank you. I just wanted to highlight that. Obviously, I have a passion for this stuff, but like the helium alone is a game changer. The potential for hydrogen is amazing. The fact that the Department of Energy is involved and there's some serious, serious venture capital being brought to this. This is really good news, folks. And again, the only downside is we'd have less to fight about. So that's pretty good. So thank you again for attaching this to the bill, and I would encourage people to support the amendment.
All right, further discussion to the A-12. All right, all those in favor of the A-12 amendment, say aye.
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 Those opposed, say nay. All right, so the amendment is adopted. Representative Hansen, do you want to tell us about your bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair. House File 3911, as amended, is the Supplemental Finance and Policy Bill. It appropriates $16.944 million of general fund and includes $56,000 in lost general fund revenue to hit the $17 million target. Highlights of the general fund appropriation include legal costs for the PCA and DNR totaling $6.8 million, $8 million to the Metropolitan Council for Community Tree Grants, $1.3 million to Bowser for the Lawns to Legumes program. It also includes $200,000 of the DNR for law enforcement response costs, $400,000 for Lions Levee Park pedestrian bridge, and $200,000 for a report on reopening the General C.C. Andrews State Nursery. That is a Representative Dotseth bill. In addition to the general fund appropriation for community tree grants, the bill appropriates $4 million from the state parks lottery and lieu account for tree planting in state parks, $3.4 million from the heritage enhancement account and the game and fish fund for community tree planting grants, $3.4 million from the Metropolitan Council Parks and Lottery Trails Lottery and Lieu for tree planting, and $450,000 from the Zoos Lottery and Lieu account for tree planting in the Minnesota Zoos. In total, the bill, and it is Arbor Day, right, tomorrow? Mm-hmm. The bill appropriates over $19 million for tree planting, $19 million. Changes included for the MPC are primarily the Environmental Fund and include nearly $3 million for increased capacity to protect air quality in environmental justice areas, $2 million for air compliance prioritization protocols, $525K for increased legal capacity, $1 million to build and operate mobile emissions regulatory monitoring equipment, and $1 million for a lawn and snow removal electrification rebate program. Changes in the special revenue fund include revenues and expenditures for the boat wrap product stewardship program and the packaging waste and cost reduction act EPR. Non-general fund changes for the DNR include $2.6 million for dedicated accounts for an update to the electronic licensing system. We already passed the policy. $300K for an operating adjustment for law enforcement officers. $700K for the prohibition on the release of domestic hogs and fur farm modifications. $2.7 million from the ATV account for a grant and aid program and a grant to the Prospector Loop Trail. $100K from the ORV account for signage related to OHV changes. $400K for the lottery and lieu account for underserved communities for a grant to the South St. Paul Aquatic Center. And $417K from the permanent school fund for a report on recreational uses of school trust land. The appropriations from the bill from lottery and lieu accounts are from revenues deposited under 297A.94. If you remember last year with our target and with ongoing base funding, we increased the percentage of revenue deposited in the five dedicated accounts from 72.3% to 81.56% and added two new accounts, each receiving 1.5% of the total amount. The bill also includes changes to the RIM Critical Habitat private sector matching account. Currently, all the license plates are deposited in the same account. This bill would require license plates depicting big game, turkeys, pheasants, and other similar plates to be used for acquisition and restoration of enhancement of lands. License plates depicting loon, chickadee, and lady slipper would be used for non-game program. License plates depicting anglers or fish must be used for the aquatic management program. And license plates depicting bees and other pollinators must be transferred to Bowser for the lawns and legumes. And that is a run-through of the bill.
Thank you, Chair Hansen. Discussion to the bill. Representative Heinzman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Hansen, we had such a nice time this morning packaging up trees. I hate to say anything negative about the bill, but unfortunately, there are a couple of things I'd like to mention, and I might have a few questions. We'll see. I'll just start with I'd have liked to have had a bill before us today that I could vote for and support, but quite honestly, there's some clunkers in here, so many, in fact, that the bill left the Environment Committee with bipartisan opposition. And I think that we could probably have a longer conversation, but just a couple of things for the public and for members. There's some really problematic language in here as it relates to ATVs, and that's something that I think a lot of folks consider to be a Greater Minnesota discussion, but in this bill it's being addressed pretty aggressively, and a lot of problems with that language. I hope that's something that's jettisoned. New air permit regulations, quite honestly, that aren't necessary, and there was a lot of testimony that was offered in regard to that and the impact that that could have statewide. We're also going to allow individuals to sue state and air and water permit holders if this bill becomes law. We're banning corn planting on state lands, which I know is something that at least one of us is very fond of, and we discussed it for a few minutes as it came up. But I'll quit, Madam Chair, talking about the policy, and I'll get to the finance portions of the bill that I had wanted to highlight. There's about $1.3 million, and Representative Hansen, you already mentioned the Lawns to Lagoon program. Popular in some parts of the state, other parts are banning the program from being implemented within their city's limits. Not necessarily clear on whether or not an additional $1.3 million is necessary. We did ask, and maybe the information since been made available, but I'm not sure how much is still on the bottom line from last year's appropriation. I didn't see that info. If it did come to my email box, I apologize. I also see $1 million for a new program to help people buy electric weed whips and leaf blowers, which I'm trying to understand how that fits into the current budgetary challenges that we're facing right now. And I think you might have mentioned it's $16.9 million in general fund costs. I just don't see how that matches with our current situation and a structural, quote-unquote, imbalance on the horizon. The one that I'm quite honestly still completely baffled by is the $400,000 for a pool in the city of South St. Paul to pre-design and design a new swimming pool and aquatic center. And I had to look it up in the bill just to confirm that, yes, it's still there. The bill language has to have a qualifier. If anybody wants to look at it on lines 5.24, notwithstanding Minnesota statutes, and then it names the section. We literally had to write that into the language because current statute would otherwise prohibit something like this from being done. At least that's my understanding, Representative Hansen. That pool project is being paid for with lottery in lieu dollars that go into a dedicated account, which is supposed to be used for projects and activities that connect diverse and undeserved Minnesotans through expanding cultural, environmental experiences, exploration of their environment, and outdoor recreational activities. I just don't see how pre-designing and designing a swimming pool fits that definition, which, of course, it doesn't. I just refer back to, and if I, like I said, understand that language correctly, that's being referenced on notwithstanding. So today, for those reasons and a lot of others that I didn't mention today, I can't be supporting the bill, although I did enjoy our time this morning. It was nice to have a little nonpartisan Arbor Day activity, but this bill contains, unfortunately, just far too many clunkers for me to be able to support it. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Hines. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just a quick question in regards to the section on funding for tree plantings and so forth. Would trees planted along roadways be included as available funding for that planting of those trees?
Chair Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Petersburg. So the tree planting that is out of the dedicated account, so the state parks would have to be the state parks. The zoos would have to be there. So those are dedicated for those purposes. The general fund would be targeted towards environmental justice areas. They're designed to be public trees. I think you have something in the transportation bill for roadways. I guess it would depend on the ownership of the property. The goal here would be grants to local units of government to provide for public trees.
Representative Petersburg, do you have a follow-up?
Just to thank you. It seems like we could be double-dipping there because roadways are public property as well, so it could be an opportunity to eliminate some of that. So thank you.
Further discussion to House Bill 3911. Lead McGraw-Flow.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Hansen, I apologize for not catching this in the amendment earlier, but I just noticed that you deleted the automatic payback future budget surpluses going into the closed landfill fund. And I didn't, was that controversial to someone?
Chair Hansen.
Madam Chair and Representative Garofalo, because there had previously been in this session a sweep language to sweep surpluses into an account, Minnesota Management and Budget has concerns about continuing that precedent with other accounts.
Lee Grafflow.
Yeah, but, and we can talk offline. Am I missing something here? The money was taken out of that fund. This is something we use for, I didn't know, I'm not aware of anyone in the legislature who would object to this. And is the problem that we're actually helping the South Metro suburb with something for once? Is that what's going on? Is there, you want to talk offline about it, or?
No, I'm happy to talk. You know, I like transparency. So.
Yeah.
So the way that had been written was prospective, because we did a payback last year. So as you know, we are very concerned that there would be future raids, because when you've refilled the fund, there's a potential that that could be used if we run into difficult budget times. So having the sweep, MMB was concerned about that. So that's why we're taking it up.
Huh. Well,
Lee Garofalo.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Hanson, but I guess I don't, not that MMB is going to talk to you and not me, but I just don't understand why they would object to that. That doesn't really, I suppose we probably see eye to eye on that. So Representative Hanson, just very quickly, just please work with Representative Heinzman. There's a lot of bills that we're passing out today that are queuing up on the floor. It seems like they're all House files. I'm hoping the majority is not going to just send all these House files over to the Senate and let them fire back whatever they want on us. You guys are savvy enough to know that. But again, please, if you can, and for all the authors, please work with Republicans. We want to. We want an orderly end of session. It's going to mean compromises. I understand that. But please, you and Representative Heinzman have a good relationship. Please do that. I'll be voting no. Thank you.
Chair Hanson, final word on your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to that point, you know, we have passed two environmental bills, the LCCMR and policy bill, that are, one has become law and the other is about to. So I think we have a track record where we can make this work. I do want to correct the record one item. Representative Heinzman, we did delete the private right of action on the, so that in the author's amendment, we deleted that portion. So just want to make sure the record is clear on that. And then just in general, you know, this is a supplemental budget, and there's, you know, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The next best time is today. This bill invests in trees all over the state. It is Arbor Day. It's a significant, significant investment. And so hopefully your communities can benefit if we pass this all over the state. State parks having trees, you know, blowdowns occur. We need trees for a variety of reasons. So I'd ask for your support on the trees alone, but I'll also ask for your support for the helium provision, as we indicated. There are really important things that nobody, in 20 years, I don't think I've seen anybody like everything in a bill. We all are sent here with different opinions, different perspectives, different philosophies, and we're not always going to agree. But we need to look at the whole, and we need to look at the whole picture. And this picture is good. So I'd ask you to support the bill.
Thank you, Chair Hanson. And with that, I renew my motion that House File 3911, as amended, be placed on the general register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay.
No.
All right, the bill is headed to the general register, and I will hand it back to Chair Olson.
Thank you, Vice Chair Edelson. And our next bill is House File 3431, Representative Cleavorn, the State and Local Government Supplemental Budget Bill. And so Representative Cleavorn moves that House File 3431 be placed on the general register. And we have a couple of amendments here, so I'm just going to pause for a second to get those handed out. We have two amendments. One was the A34, which was posted already, and the other was the A30, which was a late-breaking amendment. And as I've mentioned before, we did not have an amendment deadline today, and Chair Cleavorn did speak with Lee Garofalo, and so we're going to be passing this amendment out and taking up both of these amendments at the same time. I mean, on their own, but...
Sure.
Yes, Representative Garofalo.
I don't mean to go backwards in the agenda here, but I was just talking to Representative Hanson. He had mentioned the private right of action was deleted with his amendment. And I'm just checking the amendment here, and I'm not seeing that deletion in the amendment. And if we could just, if non-part, I don't mean to go backwards, I'm sorry, but I think the author's intent was to delete that. And if it's in the amendment, I just want to make sure that I'm missing it. And...
Sure, Representative Garofalo. So we'll proceed with the Cleavorn bill while we find that out. Sure. Behind the scenes, and then we'll figure out if that is the case and if there needs to be something. We will check and we will go from there. So thank you for raising that up, Representative Garofalo. Representative Cleavorn, so we have the bill in front of us. Which amendment would you like to move first?
We can just go in number sequence. So I'll move the 830.
Okay, the A30. Please describe the A30 amendment, Representative Cleburne.
Thank you very much. The A30 removes the capital account that would require cities and municipalities that receive bonding money to set aside replacement funds, and we're removing that section, hoping to find compromise language later with the Senate.
Any discussion to the A30 amendment? Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Chair Cleburne. This was a, I don't know, super controversial in committee, but just enough, and I do appreciate you removing this. I think the term the new reality has been used, and I think that's going to need to be something that we work with on the Senate, so I think this is a good deletion.
Any further discussion to the A30? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The motion prevails and the A30 has been adopted. To the next amendment, the A34 amendment. Representative Cleburne, you want to move that and describe your amendment?
Thank you. I move the A34 to House File 3431. This deletes Section 5, which I didn't write down which one. One moment, please. I should make better notes for myself. So Section 5 is the Healthy and Sustainable Food Options Account. We are removing that at this time. Then on page 8, we are also deleting Section 8. And Section 8 is the cancellation appropriation for the Capitol Mall design. I thought that that language, it was a little bit confusing. It looks like a new appropriation. So we decided to leave the 2023 appropriation as it is. And then you'll see also in the A34 amendment that there is an appropriation for $1,712,000 for phase two of the Capitol Mall design. I just think it's a neater and cleaner way for us to present the legislation.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Cleburne.
And then
just hold on one second. We don't have the A30. Some members don't have the A34. Is that correct?
Correct, yeah.
Some members do, some don't.
Okay.
So the A34 was the one that was in your packets. The A30 was the one that was handed out, right?
That's
both
correct.
Handed out. It was handed out. Okay.
No, the A34.
Just hold on for a second.
We have some.
You've got an
so we did the A30 already.
Correct. It's adopted.
So we're done with that. We're on the A34. Do you guys have the amendment over there?
We do.
You do. Okay. Who doesn't?
I think we're
okay.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for rolling with things. And thank you to our wonderful staff who have been dealing with a lot in real time. So we appreciate you. This is a lot of budget bills, a lot of moving parts, and I truly, truly, truly appreciate everyone's flexibility. And we want to make sure everybody has the materials in front of them. And so we will, it looks like they're getting passed out. Okay. So Representative Cleburne, would you mind just describing from the top for the A34 again? Thank you.
I would be happy to. So on the A34, line 1.2 is deleting Section 5 of the bill. Section 5 is the Healthy and Sustainable Food Options Account. On line 1.3 of the amendment, if you move to page 8 of the bill, we are deleting Section 8, the cancellation and appropriation of the Capitol Mall design framework. It's just to clean up the language and to make it very clear as to what we're doing. So it leaves the original appropriation from last year in place and untouched. And what it does is it adds a new appropriation on line 1.4 of the amendment that makes it very clear that we are adding $1,712,000 in fiscal year 25 as a one-time appropriation to implement phase two of the Capitol Mall design framework. And that money will be available as a one-time appropriation until December 31st of 2029. The next item that you'll see in the amendment is on line 1.11. And what that does is we added to House File 3431 an amendment that had to deal with the Met Council and comp plans. And this just puts an effective date to that information. So it says what the effective date for that provision would be. And that is the amendment.
Discussion to the amendment. Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Cleburne, I want to address the part of the amendment on 1.11 and following.
Yes.
Regarding the Met Council. So what it says here is that authorized by the Met Council during the most recent decennial review under section 473.864. So what does that make the effective date be?
This would be,
Representative Cleburne.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this, what this does is it makes it very clear as to which comp plans we are talking about. We are talking about the 24 comp plans, not the 2050 comp plans, or the earlier comp plans.
Sorry, Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Cleburne, when were those comp plans adopted?
Representative Cleburne.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't know exactly when each of those comp plans would have been adopted. Each municipality would have had a different date, I think. I'm not an expert. We could ask someone from that council to come forward if you'd like to know.
Representative Scott.
Thank you. If council wants to answer that question, if they know the answer.
Do we have someone from the Met Council here or from staff that would be able to address this question? I don't see anyone jumping up on this.
Well,
can we get you an answer? Representative Scott, you can continue, and we can certainly find
you,
out
Madam
more.
Well, I know the answer, and it's 2018. Okay. So what we're doing with this amendment is we're retroactively making a policy effective, and that happens to be before a lawsuit, a very important lawsuit, was held in the city of Minneapolis by a group of folks that were challenging that 2040 comp plan because it wanted to add 160,000 units of high density housing in the middle of a residential neighborhood. And chapter 473 is a law that was passed many years ago that has to do with the environment. And let me find my notes here on the MERA, and it's the Minnesota Environmental Rights Act, and it allows citizens to challenge their local governments when they believe something is afoul and that will cause problems. And so, you know, and I want to reiterate, or I want to say too, that the area of Minneapolis where we're talking about, there are some very high-end homes and there are some very low-end homes. And if we're all about home ownership and the fact that an investment in your home is one of the largest investments anyone will ever make, what we're doing here is the city of Minneapolis has persuaded somebody in this body to go around a lawsuit that said absolutely you have to do these environmental studies before this 2040 plan can go forward. And so what the courts, Minneapolis or the Minnesota Supreme Court said that, you have to do this, according to this section 473, you have to do these environmentals. And here we have lawmakers trying to do an end around for the city of Minneapolis. And do you think there might be some environmental impacts, Madam Chair and to Representative Cleburne, do you think there might be some environmental impacts to adding 160,000 new high density homes?
Representative Cleburne.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative, I appreciate the question. And I share some of the concerns that you were expressing. What I would like to say to you, in consultation with the League of Minnesota Cities, Metro Cities, it is my understanding that the cities are all supportive of this legislation. And so with that, I'm bringing it forward and making sure that we both preserve the rights for individuals to sue, which I'm assured that that is likely to continue into the future, and making sure that it's understood that comp plans are a roadwork and a framework going forward, but individual projects can still be reviewed.
Thank you, Representative Cleburne. Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Cleburne, I know that most likely this wasn't something that was your idea, but to say that the League of Minnesota Cities is favorable, well, the citizens that live there are not in favor. And when are we going to start listening to them versus listening to a governmental lobby group? Again, I don't think the legislature should get in the habit of going around a ruling by the Supreme Court of Minnesota telling a city they need to do something, and here we are going around that. I think that is flawed ideology and something that is way beneath this body. And so, members, I would ask for a roll call on this amendment. Thank you.
A roll call on the A34. There will be a roll call. Further discussion. Representative Howard.
Thank you, Chair Olson. Thank you, Representative Scott, Representative Cleborn. I just wanted to clarify a few points related to this. One, to reiterate, as Chair Cleborn mentioned, that nothing in this language prevents folks from bringing a suit regarding a specific project that moves forward, which is when environmental review should take place, when a specific project moves forward. What this amendment does is do what the courts really invited us to do, which is clarify the law about when comp planning should occur and when environmental review should occur. A comp plan is an idea put together by a community and a city working together, and it's a vision of what's going to move forward in a community. It's not a nobody has a crystal ball. So the source of 160,000 homes that Representative Scott is just a fantastical number of homes based on a theoretical full take-up of a comp plan. That's not in practice whatever occurs. And so what this language does, and why it's supported by a broad set of Minnesotans, of cities, of environmental groups, of, you know, basically folks understand that there's a benefit of this kind of planning to be take place, and it's a really well a time well thought amendment. So I just wanted to add that clarification in.
Thank you, Representative Howard. And I'll go to Cleborn, and then we have Nash. I just pointed to her, but you do want to be recognized, right? Okay, oh, so yeah. We'll go Cleborn, and then we'll go to Nash,
happy,
and then to Peggy.
I'm happy to hear from Wade Nash first.
Okay, Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Chair Cleborn, I'm so excited that you are removing the subsidy for politicians and bureaucrats to have their lunch paid for, and we could have fixed this last week when we did this, when I pointed out that was a fairly ridiculous expenditure of $500,000. So I do appreciate that you are taking that out of the bill, but I wanted to riff off of something that Chair Scott was just talking about, and in conversations that you and I had weeks ago, don't remember when, but that the amendment that she's, or the part of the amendment that she's addressing, would necessitate levels of density that you yourself told me that you were opposed to. So I'm a little surprised that this is an amendment that you're bringing forward, because I know you had grave concerns with House File 4009, and this was one of the areas of density that created problems for that bill to move forward. So I'm just surprised, but I am very grateful that we don't have to subsidize lunch for legislators and bureaucrats. So, but Madam Chair, I will have other comments on the bill after the amendment.
Okay, great. Thank you for. And somebody has a phone close to a microphone that is buzzing, and it's just if your microphone is bent down and there's something close to it, there's a reverberation happening every time it beeps. Okay.
Madam Chair, may I address the comment?
Yes, Representative Cleborn.
So to be perfectly clear, 4009, the question that I've always had about that legislation is whether or not the infrastructure could support the density, and which is always the question that I have in many things. And we always need to make sure that, and I would like to thank Chair Howard for working with us and trying to revise that bill, and it's a continual work in progress, to make sure that we have infrastructure, public safety, and human welfare at the front and center of all that we do. I see you writing down my words. I always like that. And as for the cafeteria conversation that we have, let's be perfectly clear. The majority of legislators don't have time to run off and have lunch during the legislative session, and the cafeteria serves the people who work in the Capitol space, the people who work in public service to our state, and for all of the people who come here, like today, when they need a place to eat, they have a place to eat. So while I appreciate your humor, it is, in fact, space for all of us to come together and work together to do the people's work. Thank you.
All right, Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for allowing me to speak again. Just regarding Representative Howard's comments, there's a newspaper article regarding what was going on here in Minneapolis and the lawsuit and all things. And one of the people they interviewed quoted, "Think forest plan. Should we have to wait until half the forest is harvested to bring the lawsuit alleging that the deforestation is destroying state resources? Or do we make, or does it make more sense to challenge the plan that authorizes the overly destructive harvest?" And members, we need to be thinking again about the gravity of what we're doing here. Going around the Supreme Court of our state, a ruling that they made so that Minneapolis can potentially build 160,000 units of high-density housing. This section, 473, has never been amended, never, until now. It was adopted, I believe, in 1973, something to that effect. So what we're doing here is weighty. And my understanding was that this policy was adopted in a very bipartisan way, with Democrats and Republicans coming together, trying to make a policy that would prove the test of time. And we're going around that right now to do a carve-out so Minneapolis can avoid a lawsuit. And so, folks, I would encourage a no vote on this amendment.
Thank you, Representative Scott. Representative Rarick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just have a process question. So, Chair Claiborne, this language that we're looking at that we've been speaking about at great length, has this language been vetted in any of the committees besides right here? Or is this the first time anyone is seeing this language?
Representative Claiborne.
Thank you. The underlying language, which is in the bill now, was vetted in state and local government.
Representative Rarick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, that part I understand because it came in your bill. I'm talking about the amendment that we're talking about. And we've had quite a bit of conversation in here, but this language, is this new language or is this vetted language? Has this gone to the Housing Committee? Has it gone to state and local government? Or is this brand new language that we're only seeing a very substantial policy change in Ways and Means, which I don't like doing. I don't like to do big policy changes in Ways and Means. So I'm asking you, is this language that we're seeing in the amendment vetted in the proper committees?
Representative Claiborne.
Thank you very much, Chair Olson and Representative Rarick. This language was developed in conjunction with the Chair of Housing, and as you know, it is an effective date, so it is important for us to clarify the legislation that we have put in, and so the Chair of Housing and I have worked in unison to prepare this effective date so that everyone would know when this policy goes into effect. Thank you.
Representative Rarick.
Madam Chair, if we adopt this, Madam Chair, this really needs to go back to both housing and state and local government because this is substantial. This isn't just an effective date. This is changing the underlying language in statute substantially. Not a little bit, substantially. We should not be doing this in Ways and Means. This is not the proper place. This is not the proper procedure. This is not going to be a bipartisan move. This is going to not go well. So I know we're going to all vote no on this. It's going to go on because you guys have the votes. This needs to go back to both committees and be properly vetted.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm wondering if we couldn't divide the amendment at page 1.10, and I would just move that we delete everything following 1.10. Of this amendment, and then I would like a roll call on that, please.
Okay, let me check with staff on that.
Madam Chair and members, I'm looking up to the gallery just in case my colleagues have a different opinion on this, but it does appear as if there are two separate questions in the A34 amendment. Mm-hmm. The language that comes before line 1.10 and the language that comes after. So whether an amendment is divisible or not is a decision made by the presiding officer, in this case the chair, who can ask the committee for their advice, but that's my initial reaction.
So seeing that the amendment is divisible, I'm going to go to, we can vote separately on both pieces. So Representative Cleavorn, I know I also have Representative Howard on the list to this part, so maybe I'll go to Representative Howard and then to you. Would you like to speak to, I know you didn't know what the motion was going to be, but you wanted to speak again to the A34, so I'll go to you.
Thanks, Charleston. Thanks, members. I just want quick clarification. The underlying language is part of a Representative Jordan bill. It's traveled through the committee process. That underlying Jordan bill had effective date legislation. And so this is properly in order, and I would encourage a no vote on the amendment.
Thank you, Representative Howard. Yes. Representative
excuse me.
Representative Howard.
Well, go ahead with the motion, and we'll take cues from you, Madam Chair.
Representative Cleavorn.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, and Representative Howard. I appreciate you reminding me of that. Yes. I would ask that we leave the effective date in, and I would ask for members to please stand with me and vote to leave the amendment, or to leave the effective date in the amendment.
Okay. So we have the A34. We have a motion to divide it. I'm going to have staff just repeat the motion so we know what we're voting on, and then we will proceed with the roll call vote.
Madam Chair, as I understand the division, the first piece to vote on would be of the A34 amendment lines 1.2 to 1.9. And then after that vote is concluded, the second portion of the divided amendment is 1.10 through 1.16, and the chair can decide which piece is voted on first.
Madam Chair, I would withdraw the roll call on the first part of the amendment. But the second half where it's been divided, mm-hmm. I would request a roll call on that.
Voice vote on, so I'll just, again, I'm going to have staff reiterate everything so that we know we're all crystal clear on what we're doing. And then
what a yes vote means and what a no vote means.
Absolutely. So would you, Mr. Sullivan, would you just repeat back what we're voting on, what is a roll call, what is a voice vote, and what, if you could just say that one more time.
Well, Madam Chair, my understanding is that the first vote would be on lines 1.2 to 1.9, and there is, as I understand it, not a roll call requested on that piece. And then the second vote would be on lines 1.10 through 1.16, and there is a roll call requested on that second vote.
Thank you, Mr. Sullivan. So just to be for clarifying, if the request of the bill author and the chair is to keep the amendment intact, we would be we'd still be taking two separate votes, but would be voting in the affirmative on both, which would keep the amendment intact. Okay. So we'll take the voice vote on the first portion of the amendment. So all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The motion prevails in the first part of the amendment has been adopted. To the second part of the amendment, which is a roll call vote, I will ask the clerk to take the roll.
Chair Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Vice Chair Edelson?
Aye.
Edelson, aye. Lead Garofalo?
Garofalo votes aye.
It's up to you. I'm not telling you. You brought us this
clarification.
You take us to the conclusion.
She moved to delete the language.
I moved
you
to delete.
You moved
to divide the amendment.
Okay, then I'm a no.
Okay.
Lead Garofalo, no. Representative Akam?
Aye.
Akam, aye. Representative Egbaje?
Aye.
Egbaje, aye. Representative Beckerfin? Beckerfin is excused. Representative Freiberg?
Yes.
Freiberg, aye. Representative Gomez is excused. Representative Hassan?
Hassan, aye.
Hassan, aye. Representative Heintzman?
No.
Heintzman, no. Representative Hornstein? Representative Howard?
Aye.
Howard, aye. Representative Cleavorn?
Aye.
Cleavorn, aye. Representative Crenshaw?
No.
Crenshaw, no. Representative Liebling?
Aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Lilly, aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Moeller is excused. Representative Nash?
Nash, no.
Nash, no. Representative Knorr?
Knorr, aye.
Knorr, aye. Representative Novotny?
No.
Novotny, no. Representative Pawlowski?
Pawlowski, aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Petersburg? Representative Farr?
Farr, no.
Farr, no. Representative Pinto?
Aye.
Pinto, aye. Representative Rarick?
No.
Rarick, no. Representative Schumacher?
Schumacher, no.
Schumacher, no. Representative Scott?
No.
Scott, no. Representative Joachim?
Joachim, aye.
Joachim, aye. Representative Hornstein?
Looking at
and Representative Petersburg. Madam Chair, there are 14 ayes, 9 nays, and 5 excused.
There being 14 ayes and 9 nays, the second part of the amendment, lines 1.10 through 1.6, are adopted. And so now we have completed the A34 amendment, which, just to reiterate, has now remained essentially intact. And so to your bill as amended, Representative Cleburne.
Thank you very much. House File 3431, as amended, contains many really good parts that will serve our state well. The beginning has to deal with the Department of Administration, and it amends riders to Minnesota public educational radio stations and public television, clarifying the appropriations that were granted in 2023. The Capital Area Community Vitality Account directs expenditures from the funds of the Capital Area Community Vitality Account that were issued last year. There is new spending of $43,000, which would appropriate money as for the Capital Barber. There is $445,000, which is intended for green space and Capital Parking Lot C, and that is the lot next to the Ford Building, for those of you who are curious. There is $300,000, which would be money appropriated to the Commissioner of Administration to replace the statue of Henry Maurer Rice with a statue of Hubert H. Humphrey in Statuary Hall at the United States Capitol. The new appropriation that I discussed earlier is for phase two of the Capitol Mall design framework, and that's $1,712,000. In the second article, the state government policy, you will see that tribal consultation is required, is actually requested by both the Board of Aging and the Public Utilities Commission when doing their work. A substantial part of the bill has to do with the Office of Administrative Hearings, and it provides a number of miscellaneous policies changes that would bring the Office of Administrative Hearings into conformity with many of the pieces that judiciary does in our state. We have deleted the capital project replacement account. And then next we move on to a report that modifying the date for the uncollected debt report. Two large bills that are in this incorporated into this House file have to do with Minute cybersecurity and technology service provisions for Minute. There is a provision to provide capital security on an as-needed basis for constitutional officers. Representative Stevenson's bill requiring the Architecture, Engineering, Land Surveying, Landscape, Architecture, Geoscience, and Interior Design Board to send email notifications when people's licenses are about to expire. There is a provision for the Board of Accountancy to not do continuing education compliance audits during tax season, the 60 days prior to tax season. There are updates to the notary public, which would allow notary publics to continue using their seals until they expire. And let's see, I'm trying to think. There's a Mike Nelson bill for Hennepin County set-aside contracts, which allows a vendor providing construction services that does not have at least 50% of its employees that meet public assistance or rehabilitative services to meet the criteria of taking into consideration industry safety standards to establish supervisory ratios for apprentices and requirements for licensing persons to perform certain work. Anoka County Jail would be able to be outside of the historic district, but still within the county. We've already discussed the MIRA provision, and then there are two repealers. One is a Sidney Jordan file that had to do with banning the imposition of merchant bag bans, plastic bag bans, and then the Hollins repealer, which would allow St. Paul to charge franchise fees during the winter months, as every other municipality is able to do. And that's the bill.
Thank you, Representative Cleburne. Discussion to the bill as amended. Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Chair Cleburne, I will say the committee process was good.
Thank you. And
there are things in here that I actually like and things that I helped author regarding the cybersecurity piece and some of the other things. And some are just good for the order. But there are some things that are troubling. And I think rather than drag it out here in committee, we'll just do the highlight reel. There are some things that I'm not sure why we're doing.
Okay.
The last piece for the Anoka jail, that is not a universally well-regarded provision. And again, the notion that we have to get this bill passed over in the Senate, I don't know that that's going to happen. I think that that's something that you might consider jettisoning, given the new reality of what's going on over there. I had asked in committee, but never really got a great answer. But the $4.8 million given to the city of St. Paul to do community vitality voices, I'm still not sure really what that does or why it's in this bill and why are we spending $4.8 million in a non-funding year to help this out, and why it wasn't done in maybe Chair Lilly's bill that has recently gone through that does do things like community voices and such like that. That would be, in my estimation, a better home for that. So if the chair would maybe help us with that answer.
Representative Cleaborn.
Thank you. And actually, the money was appropriated last year, and we wanted to make sure that we knew what they wanted to do with the money. So we asked the community to come together, have conversations to decide how to best keep the economic development of this region around the capital, and to figure out how do we keep the businesses around the capital area strong and vibrant. How do we help revitalize the area? It is an area that we as legislators, we come to every day, but we have seriously neglected. So the appropriation was discussed and vetted last year in the budget bill, and this is just, they came to us with their plan, they told us what their plan was, and we approved the plan. And that's what's in the bill, saying that we are approving the plan, which is to have the city of St. Paul do the economic and development vetting of the grants, and they would make sure that the grants are issued in a way that's appropriate for the spending of the state's money.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just because I want to make sure that this gets put on the record, the chair and I did talk about the capillary security limited amount of time for a constitutional officer. Wanted to make sure, because I didn't read it in the amendment, you had said that you were going to come up with a sunset for that. And I don't remember seeing it, but maybe I just missed it. But I want to make sure that we do put that out there, because I think this is, we want everybody to be safe, but given that not all constitutional officers are on the Capitol area campus, I want to make sure that we do not set a long-term precedent for that, because it does dilute from the Capitol area complex security by having to possibly send somebody elsewhere.
Representative Cleaborn.
Thank you. And Lead Nash, you and I did discuss a sunset, and I think the conversation that we had is that you and I would come to some agreement as to that sunset. You want a shorter sunset, I want a longer sunset, so we still need to continue that conversation, and we still have time to add that.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And lastly, and this one hurts because it's personal. some time ago, Representative Garofalo and I enacted into statute a preemption over the banning of plastic bags. And I think that if you talk to a lot of the folks who are in the Grocers Association and others, you'll find that the utilization of plastic bags is well regarded. They are recyclable, and grocery stores do provide ample bins for you to bring your recycled plastic bags. So that one, I would also hope that in the new reality we can find a way to just scooch that out again, because it's now the ban, if I'm correct.
Just the ban on the ban.
Ah, okay. For that reason, and well, a myriad of reasons, while there are things that the chair and I work closely on, and there are things that have great merit in this bill, I can't support this bill.
Further discussion, Representative Rarick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I have another process issue in this bill, a pretty substantial one, because it's all of Section 20. So Article 2, Section 20, which is, it's from House File 5328, setting up a pretty substantial program, essentially, for all state office buildings. And it did not go to the Energy Committee, the Climate Energy Committee. It didn't go there. We didn't discuss it. It seems fairly significant, and it absolutely should have gone to the Energy Committee.
Representative Cleaborn.
Thank you. And I can understand confusion about House File 5328. The only thing that that does, the energy, it's establishing a bank account so that if we receive federal grants that are cash, we actually have a place to deposit the money. It doesn't change any power or jurisdiction. It's an establishment of a bank account. And then, as I understand it, and the definitions are there so that it clarifies what cash receipts can come in, if I have that right. Yeah, I'm getting a nod from admin.
Representative Rarick.
Thank you.
But I can understand the confusion.
Yep. Representative Rarick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, yes, it establishes an account, but it's talking about a massive expansion of renewable energy and storage and electric vehicles and all kinds of things on state property. I still say that this should have at least had a look at, you know, in Climate Energy Committee, we should have had at least a look at this. I realize that this is establishing a bank account, but it's the, what is the bank account for? Mm-hmm. And it absolutely should have gone. So again, I'm just seeing another process issue, Madam Chair. I think this absolutely should have gone to Energy Committee.
Further discussion. Lead Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Nash, thanks for bringing up the, so I just want to tell a very quick story, Madam Chair, because we're going quickly today. So
we will indulge you if we continue to progress at this rate. We can indulge you for a minute.
No,
or
I won't tell this story.
Yeah.
So this bag ban thing, right? Okay. Back in 20.
I might reel you in though. Like, no, I'm not saying it's full indulgence, but I'm going to give you a little bit of room. We'll see. I might have to call it back. But Representative Garofalo.
I totally understand and feel free to. So 2017, Representative Nash comes to me with this bag ban bill, and he's like, "I want you to put this in your omnibus bill." And I'm like, "Jim, why are you bringing this crap to me? I don't care about this. I have tons of other stuff to worry about. We got a massive committee and staff pushes me like, you got to include this, you got to do it. I'm like, fine, go away, whatever, I'll do it. We put it in the bill, it goes to conference committee, it makes it through the process and becomes law. We have this great omnibus bill on energy policy, workforce development. I present it to my caucus, and the only thing they're excited about is Jim Nash's bag ban bill. Okay, that's what the members of our caucus reminded. So I just thought you'd, I obviously find it more amusing than you do.
Representative Garofalo, I had a very similar experience today where someone was very excited after caucusing a bill today when they found out we were getting rid of the ban. it was Representative Edelson. So we are equally as excited what Representative Cleburne is doing in her bill today. So Representative Garofalo.
For the reasons I stated before, I'll be voting no on this. Please, Representative Cleburne, I don't know who you're going to be matched up with in the Senate on this bill, given the situation over there. I mean, it's the chair is not present, the vice chair is not present. So I do wish you good luck, but please work with Representative Nash on this. This is something that we should have done. So thank you.
Thank you, members. And so now we have a series of motions. Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Cleburne, final word to your bill.
Well, I would just like to thank the committee for all of the people who did the hard work to create the pieces of legislation that are in this bill. They're not my pieces of work. They're the work of members of this body. And so I'd like to say thank you to everyone who did that. And I always have to give a great debt of gratitude to the nonpartisan staff and the partisan staff who do a tremendous amount of work and who are doing amendments on the fly for me today and for all of you indulging in a last minute amendment. So thank you very much. I ask for your support. It is a good bill and I appreciate the humor and the fact that we can laugh together and tease each other means that we are doing good work together. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Cleaver. And so now on to the motions to merge the state government and the veterans bill. So our first motion, Representative Cleburne, would you move that the language contained in House File 5181 be incorporated into the state government and veterans budget bill as a separate article?
So moved.
Any discussion? Representative Nash.
Yeah. You know, Madam Chair, I really enjoyed the discussion we had around the veterans bill the other day, and it, I think, if I'm right, it has received straight green votes in every committee stop it's made along the way, and just by virtue of the fact that it is, this bill clearly is not
coming out of here with our supportive votes. It didn't come out of state government finance with all supportive votes. I would ask that we not merge them. Let, as we did, I think last year, 2 years ago, sometimes it gets munged together, but I would ask that we not merge them and just bring up the veterans bill on its own. You know, Chair for a few minutes, Farr, the other day, did a great job of presenting that. I think that it makes sense for us not to merge these, and in the interest of time, we could do the veterans bill reasonably quickly on the floor and honor the fact that every person here wants to put up a green vote for that bill, and not every person in this place will put up a green vote for the state government finance bill. So for that reason, I would ask a roll call on merging, because I don't believe it's what we want to do.
There's been a roll call requested on the merging of the veterans bill in, as a separate article into the state government veterans and budget bill. Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I haven't been saying a lot in this committee lately, but I do want to just comment on this particular issue, maybe with a little bit of privilege of having been around here a while, like a Representative Garofalo. And, you know, without commenting on the wisdom of these two particular bills being combined, I'm not involved in the decisions of which are going together with what. But I have to say that I do remember a time, and having been in the minority myself several times, that you didn't have to love everything in a bill to vote for the bill. And that you would look at a bill and say, well, on the whole, is this something that's good for my community and for the state? And not necessarily does my party agree with every single piece of it. And that we could all go home and explain to people that, yes, this was in a bill. I voted for the bill, but I didn't like this piece. And that it was okay to explain that to people, and everyone understood that. And I just want to say it's very unfortunate, I think, that we've come to this place where it's that it's all or nothing. If I don't like something in the bill, then I cannot vote for the bill. And, you know, I understand sometimes the bad things from that member's point of view outweigh the good things. But, I hope it's not just, oh, there's one item I don't like, and then the whole thing is just a non-starter. I just think we're not well served when we're at that place.
Thank you, Representative Liebling. Further discussion, Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Liebling, thank you for your comments. And certainly this is not the first time that veterans and state government finance bills have been merged together. But I would say that we're in a very unique place with this legislative session. Keep in mind that on this side of the aisle, this is the sixth year that our caucus has been in the political minority. There's not a lot of experience on our side of the aisle with people who've been involved in negotiations. And they're about to be involved in the negotiations in a substantive way for the very first time. Likewise, I respect the fact that for many members on your side of the aisle, they only know the majority, or a majority with a lot of resources being available. So the reason why I think the best reason to vote against this provision is that it's going to make what are going to be challenging negotiations even more challenging. It's going to make it harder. So it's not unprecedented. It's been done before. But just given this unique situation, understand the skill sets of accepting disappointment or knowing what to ask for. A lot of those skills are not present for many members of this chamber. And I would just, I think we need to be cognizant of that in the next 3 weeks. Thank you.
Thank you. And we have the motion up for a roll call vote. And I will say it's come up a few times today. And, you know, we're continuing to move our bills here and do our work, because as we continue, you know, nothing has changed until it's changed. And we are going to continue to work, and we're going to continue to move through with the process as we see it. And so we're still moving forward and with our work today. That's why we're processing the bills we're processing today. That's why we have the motions we have in front of us today to line up the bills with the Senate and to continue to do our work and until something else changes. So Representative Cleavorn, do you want to say anything to the motion?
I ask for your support.
Thank you. So there has been a roll call on the motion to incorporate the state government and veterans budget bills as separate articles.
Chair Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Vice Chair Edelson?
Aye.
Edelson, aye. Lead Garofalo?
No.
Garofalo, no. Representative Akam?
Aye.
Akam, aye. Mm. Representative Egbaje?
Aye.
Egbaje, aye. Representative Becker-Finn is excused. Representative Freiberg?
Yes.
Freiberg, aye. Representative Gomez is excused. Representative Hassan?
Hassan, aye.
Hassan, aye. Representative Heintzman?
No.
Heintzman, no. Representative Hornsby? Representative Howard?
Aye.
Howard, aye. Representative Cleburne?
Aye.
Cleburne, aye. Representative Kreshaw?
Kreshaw, no.
Kreshaw, no. Representative Liebling?
Aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Lilly, aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Moeller is excused. Representative Nash?
No.
Nash, no. Representative Knorr?
Knorr, aye.
Knorr, aye. Representative Novotny?
No.
Novotny, no. Representative Pulaski?
Pulaski, aye.
Pulaski, aye. Representative Petersburg? Representative Farr?
Farr, no.
Farr, no. Representative Pinto?
Aye.
Pinto, aye. Representative Rarick?
No.
Rarick, no. Representative Schumacher?
Schumacher, no.
Schumacher, no. Representative Scott?
No.
Scott, no. Representative Joachim?
Yes.
Joachim, aye. Representative Hornstein? And Representative Petersburg? Madam Chair, there are 14 ayes, 9 nays, and 5 excused.
With 14 ayes and 9 nays, the motion prevails and the language in House File 5181 is incorporated as a separate article. And to the second procedural motion here, which is the merger of the state government bill, Representative Cleburne, would you move that the language in House File 3431 as amended be incorporated into state government and veterans budget bill as a separate article?
So moved.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, please say no.
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 The motion prevails, and they have been merged as separate articles. And now we are on to final passage. Representative Cleburne renews her motions that House File 3431, as amended, be placed on the General Register and that nonpartisan staff be directed to make technical changes as necessary. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, please say no.
No.
The motion prevails, and House File 3441, as amended, has been placed on the General Register. So we still have a few more bills here, and I'm actually going to go to Mr. Sullivan briefly, just to go back to the question that Representative Garofalo, I believe you got an answer, but I do want to just have it on the record, too. So going back to the question you asked about the environment bill and what the amendment, the portion, if it was or wasn't included, I'm going to go to Representative Mr. Sullivan for that.
Madam Chair and members, yeah, the question was about whether the A-12 amendment that the committee adopted to Representative Hansen's environment bill, whether that amendment in fact deleted the private right of action. And I was able to confirm with nonpartisan staff experts who stepped out after the committee had finished with that bill that indeed the A-12 amendment does eliminate that language, and those changes are on lines 1.19 to 1.21, eliminating language allowing any person to bring a private right of action.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, and the next bill on the agenda, I think, oh, there you are, Representative Herr. All right, so Representative Herr, House File 5041, the Pension Supplemental Budget Bill. 5040, House File 5040. So I move that House File 5040 be placed on the General Register. So welcome to the committee. And we have an A24-0309 amendment. So I will... do you want us to take that up before you present your bill? Okay, great. So I move the A24-0309 amendment. Please tell us about your amendment.
Thank you, Chair Olson and committee members. This amendment is actually just a technical amendment. It aligns the effective dates for the reduction of our normal retirement age from 66 to 65 for teachers by 1 year. And this was something that we did last year, and we have some provisions in the bill this year to actually fund moving that up one additional year. And so we just need to make sure that the effective date works so that all those who qualify are able to participate in that. That is the amendment.
Thank you, Representative Herr. Discussion to the amendment. Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, please say no. The motion prevails and the amendment has been adopted. So to your bill, Representative Herr.
Thank you, Chair Olson. And this will probably be less humorous than your last bill and probably less bantering, but all the more fun to dig into the actual meat of this bill here. So the pensions bill has actually a policy piece and an appropriation part of it. The policy portion of the bill benefits each and every plan in the state system and employees across the state, from teachers just out of college to state patrol officers near retirement to healthcare workers in the correctional system. I can walk the committee through each individual section if you would like that, but I'm going to maybe leave that up to the committee and the chair. What I can do is walk through the appropriations for this particular commission. And so this year we were given a target of $31.548 million. And what we did was that in the interim, there was a work group that worked on an IRAP to TRA transfer, and that that fixes individual accounts in which might have been missed in the ability to make those transfers. And we put $1.458 million into that fund. And then we looked at between the TRA and St. Paul Teachers Plan, we looked at the actuarial accrued liabilities to say what is the split between the two plans. And we looked at 94.874% for TRA and 5.126% for St. Paul Teachers. And so what that ended up coming out to is appropriations of $28.462.2 million for St. Paul Teachers and the other one was for TRA, and then the 1.537 point eight is for St. Paul Teachers. And we worked with each of the plans to identify what would be the most meaningful for the teachers and how to apply this. And so TRA used those funds to actually to be able to buy down the cost of the effective date of NRA of 65 from July of 2025 to July of 2024. And then for our St. Paul Teachers, they used that amount in order to do a ramp up for the scheduled increase 2 years from now for the teacher's contribution. And so that is the bill that is in front of you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Herr. Discussion to the bill as amended. Lead Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Herr, for bringing this bill forward. While I do have concerns about expanding our pension obligations in the state, on whole, this bill does more good than bad. My understanding is that you and Representative O'Driscoll are still talking about this, but I do think this bill merits a yes vote today, so thank you very much.
Further discussion to the bill? Seeing none, Representative Herr.
Thank you, Chair Olson, and thank you, Representative Garofalo, for that comment. Representative O'Driscoll and I actually worked really closely the last 2 years. This is a bipartisan bill. It received bipartisan support coming out of the Pension Commission. There are many provisions in here that have been included by Representative O'Driscoll, Representative Nadeau, Senator Rasmussen, and some of our other GOP colleagues. And so this is actually a really good bill, and both of them have expressed their appreciation for being involved in this process. And so I just thank the committee and ask for all of your yes vote.
Thank you, Representative Herr. And with that, I renew my motion that House File 5040, as amended, be placed on the general register. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, please say no. The motion prevails, and House File 5040 has been placed on the general register. Thank you, Representative Herr. Our next bill is House File 3763, Representative Vague, the Agriculture Supplemental Budget Bill. So welcome to the committee. I move House File 3763 before the committee. And so we'll do discussion of the bill and then we will lay it over. And so the bill is before us and you don't have any amendments.
No amendments, Madam Chair.
Okay. Okay, great. So Representative Vang, tell us about your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. There's both policy and finance items on this bill. Much of the policy are agency technical provisions, and then I'll just note a couple of member initiatives, such as expanding the farm-to-school program, protecting our local honey products, allowing Spanish translation exam for the pesticide applicator license. There are also other provisions that include clarifying intent for the farmland down payment assistance program and other similar programs, as well as a policy proposal that looks at addressing the nitrate contamination in southeastern Minnesota. Our target this year is $4.5 million in one time, and then about $2.5 million in tails, which is already designated for agri, restoring it to pre-2023 sunset appropriations. $3 million of the one time is dedicated to nitrate treatment. So this is go towards like updating old wells and providing reverse osmosis and other related drinking water needs for communities affected by the high concentration of nitrates. The rest of the funds I can quickly disclose. So about $300,000 for the soil health financial assistance grants, $300,000 for the beginning farmer infrastructure grants, $250,000 for AURI to support food entrepreneurs, $200,000 for farm to school, $100,000 for biofuels infrastructure grants, and $100,000 for pollinator research accounts. So, Madam Chair, these are our fiscal and our notes for this year's agriculture budget bill.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Vang. Discussion to the bill. Representative Heintzman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Vang, we have had a discussion in the Environment Committee about elk impact to agriculture, and there might be a little overlap between the bills, but I just wondered if you've got any data to show trends in elk damage claims to justify some of the language in your bill.
Representative Vang.
Madam Chair, Representative Heintzman, so the elk language in my bill is that it's actually an MDA agency bill. It's fairly just technical. What it does is remove some staffing burdens from MDA by requiring damage claims to be filed through third-party agents for MDA review. So it doesn't currently address or does anything to change or increase the compensation claims, the number of claims.
Representative Heintzman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My understanding, and I understand this is the House, but my question would be the Senate bill increases money for elk claims by, I think, $75,000 in fiscal year 25. And I'm wondering if there's any data to show that we need to be adding money or taking money away from this program. If there is, I'd appreciate seeing that. Thank you, Representative Vang.
Representative Vang.
Madam Chair, Representative Heintzman. So the great thing about the claims currently, how it's set up right now, is that if the elk depredation claims were to exceed, that they can go into the other claims account. I think the next one was the wolf account. And so I don't think those numbers have been the money has been exhausted yet. There is a recent report that I have not had a chance to review it yet from the department regarding the amount of dollars left in the account. But if the agency is here, I think they could be happy to provide a report on where the numbers are right now.
And Representative Heintzman.
Madam Chair, that's all. I can talk to them offline. Okay.
Great. Thank you, Representative Heintzman. Further discussion to the bill. Lee Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative. Thank you for bringing this bill forward. I just I want to highlight again for members of the body that we continue, although this bill does not appropriate extra funds, it allows more flexibility in the area of broadband funding. And this is where I disagree with the majority of the members of my caucus on this. We are continuing, members, to shovel tens of millions of dollars into the most expensive solution to provide broadband that may not be the best option. And I respect the fact that in low-density areas we have opportunities to provide higher quality bandwidth to people. We can do that. If we went out and bought someone a Starlink subscription and paid for it for 10 years, you could serve far more people and you could save a bunch of money. And we continue to fund these programs for low-density deployments with fiber in the ground that are just not a good idea. Well, that's just off issue on your bill, so thank you.
Further discussion. Representative Vang, last word on your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just appreciate the committee's time and for your support.
Thank you, Representative Vang. And with that, House File 3763 is laid over. Thank you. So next up, we have House File 4177, Representative Acom, the Climate and Energy Supplemental Budget Bill. That Representative Acom moves House File 4177 before the committee, and we're going to discuss the bill, consider the amendments, and then we're going to lay it over until the next part where we do another procedural motion for merger. So we have the bill in front of us. We have the A3 amendment. So Representative Acom, would you like to move the A3 amendment and do that first before we get to bill discussion?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Okay, so the A3 is in front of us. Please proceed to describe the amendment.
Great. So thank you, Madam Chair and members. The A3 amendment does a few different things. It switches some general fund dollars from a residential building codes program, rebate program, to the solar app program. It clarifies a definition for thermal energy network. In our bill, we had a couple different provisions that referred to thermal energy networks, and with so this is just bringing the definition together. It has some technical clarifications and also some new language in the interconnection bill, allowing for some cost recovery for unallocated portions of upgrades. And The rest is really just technical changes. Right. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Akam. Discussion to the A3. Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Akam, with regards to the tariff that's being created, is this any different than the committee language we had for the distribution facility charges that are unallocated?
Representative Akam.
So it's a little bit different, yes. So it had been worked thank you. I'm sorry, Madam Chair.
You were fine, Representative Akam. Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, there were some conversations with several of the stakeholders and came up with this as a place that was comfortable within the Public Utility Commission, XL Energy, MREA, and many of the developers. So it was, yes, it is modestly different.
Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Akam. Is it fair to say the way I would frame this is that costs that are being paid by the developers are now being shifted to ratepayers, those unallocated costs?
Representative Akam.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Garofalo. No. So the projects, as you know, there's a proposal that triggers an upgrade need, and the developers will foot those bills. If there is a portion that is unallocated, the utility can fill that with and on a part of this, I'm sorry, I'll finish the sentence first, then I'll go on. The utility can then pay for that and get use rate recovery for that, and then they will be reallocated when it is ultimately utilized by the developers. And so, no, it is not shifting the financial burden to the ratepayers.
Okay, so I think this is the same debate we had in committee, right?
Probably.
Okay, thank you. So, thank you.
Okay. A3 amendment. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, please say no.
No.
The motion prevails and the A3 amendment has been adopted. To your bill as amended, Representative Akam.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. What I'll say is that the House Climate and Energy Committee bill is made up of some really, I think, innovative and exciting things. We have a whole section this year on geothermal energy, which I think is a real opportunity for us to decarbonize buildings. And so I think that Representative Hemmingson-Yeager has a work group to look at how we can expand that. I have a bill looking at helping local municipalities and utilities to consider if it makes sense for them. There's some changes to the Natural Gas Innovation Act to incorporate more geothermal, as well as implementing some here at Sabathany Community Center in Minneapolis. We have some focused on transmission, some bills focused on transmission. Representative Kraft has a grid-enhancing technology to ensure that we're using our grid capacity to its fullest. And, of course, a really important bill this year, the permitting reform bill that Majority Leader Long is carrying and has been working on to try and save time, in our permitting, which we know can be can take a long time. And then we have several provisions looking at solar. There's a bill that Representative Carroll is carrying to allow cities to apply for permits for rooftop, doing so electronically to save the city time and to make it easier for homeowners as well. There's the whole interconnection piece that Representative Garofalo and I were just referring to help alleviate the large backlog of solar projects. And then we have there's a bill to update the the Energy Conservation and Optimization Act. There's a provision updating the commercial PACE program and also looking at implementing an anaerobic digester. So there's a lot of different things overall. Out of general fund, we allocate $1 million, and within the renewable development account, there's $14.2 million. With that, Madam Chair, thank you.
Thank you, Representative Akam. Discussion, Representative Rarick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So we're doing something that we've never done before in this bill, which I adamantly oppose. We're taking renewable development account money and giving it to a nonprofit, not to develop new renewable energy, which is what the whole point of the bill was for, or excuse me, the account was for, but to put in an HVAC system to a nonprofit. That's what we're doing. We're replacing a dinosaur, that's what they called it in committee. We're replacing the dinosaur HVAC system for a nonprofit that their total revenue in the last last 990 I could see on the IRS website was $2.5 million, of which 1.5 was government sources already. And the initial ask was $10 million. Now we're giving them $5 million to replace their HVAC system. And the explanation is because it's geothermal. We've never done this before. We have never given a nonprofit money to replace an HVAC system. I have a huge issue with this. We only have a little over $14 million in left right now that we haven't already spent in the RDA. We're taking $5 million of it in this bill and setting precedent by giving it to a nonprofit, not to develop new renewable energy, to put in a very, very expensive geothermal system. We're also spending out of that RDA money another $5 million for an anaerobic digester. We had quite a bit of conversation about this in committee. It's a total project cost of $250 million to take organics out of the waste stream for the robotics and other things. And the anaerobic digester is $100 million. So we're taking money out of this fund again for a couple counties to be able to develop this huge system, a $250 million system. The last thing that I have a problem with the RDA money is we are giving $1.7 million to subsidize a software program that is already free. It is a free program, and I don't know why we're doing it, $1.7 million to subsidize a free software program that's already available for those that need it so that we can do solar faster. So those three things alone, I'm going to be a no. I was a no in committee. I'll be a no on the floor. Those are egregious things that should not be in this bill.
Further discussion to the bill. Lead Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you to Representative Rarick for her comments on this. Chair Akin, let me just offer some suggestions on how I think your bill can actually get presented to the governor's desk. First of all, my understanding is that the Senate passed the permitting bill as a separate vehicle, and that's over here in the House. We should probably take that up by itself rather than roll it into an omnibus bill, just my suggestion. The second is, if you want to address this member's side of the aisle's concerns, reducing the amount of spending in the Renewable Development Fund and putting some sort of cap on the CASC fees, I think that would go a long way. And then in addition to that, deleting some but not all of the policy provisions that are in this bill. I think that path forward would put you in a position where you could get a lot of what you want and get it on the governor's desk. I'll be voting no on this bill today, but I do hope that Representative Swazinski and you are able to work on this and provide some options to get to an agreement, because there are some good things that we can do. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, Representative Akam, to your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for the comments. I appreciate it, and I will just say we did talk about the issue of Sabathany being a nonprofit, and we also demonstrated that St. Thomas, also a nonprofit, we have given money to for their projects in the past. So I don't think that's necessarily true, and I also just want to point out that last year we passed a whole lot of comfort language around grants to nonprofits to be able to ensure that the funds are being used appropriately and that there is proper oversight. And so with that, I will just say thank you for the opportunity to present the bill today. Appreciate your consideration, and I hope that you can support the bill.
Thank you, Representative Acom. And with that, House File 4177, as amended, is laid over. Great. And so you're going to stay where you are, because next up is House File 4975, which is the Renewable Development Account Report repealed. And so I'm moving that House File 40 Well, Representative Acomb, you could move that House File 4975 be placed on the general register. And the language of this, what we have in front of it, it's essentially a vehicle bill, just
correct.
To be clear.
Yep.
We've already vetted this language through the other bill that you have in front of us, so we're not going to go into that part if everybody...
Oh, got a long debate.
Okay, just to be clear, and so that's why we're just going to move to the motions and the procedural parts, because we've vetted this already. So now we'll have the motions to merge the climate, energy, commerce, and agriculture bills. So Representative Acomb, would you move to delete everything after the enacting clause in House File 4975 and incorporate the language contained in House File 5295 as amended into the Climate, Energy, Commerce, and Agriculture Bill as separate articles?
So moved.
Great. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, please say no.
No.
The motion prevails. Our next motion is the agriculture motion. So, Representative Acomb, would you move that the language contained in House File 3763 be incorporated into the Climate and Energy, Commerce, and Agriculture Bill as separate articles?
So moved.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, please say no.
No.
The motion prevails. Last, we're the climate and energy motion. Representative Acomb, would you move that the language contained in House File 4177 as amended be incorporated into the Climate and Energy, Commerce, and Agriculture bills as separate articles?
So moved.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, please say no.
No.
The motion prevails. And now we're on final passage of the merged together bill. So Representative Acomb renews her motion that House File 4975 as amended be placed on the general register and that nonpartisan staff be directed to make technical changes as necessary. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, please say no.
No.
The motion prevails and House File 4975 as amended has been placed on the general register. As I mentioned, the tax bill has been bumped to Monday, so we have miraculously finished our business today. And I just want to say, like, a genuine thank you to everybody on this committee. Our goal is to vet bills here and to take a good look at the finance and present a thorough discussion. I feel like our bill authors did a great job hitting us with what we needed to, our minority members lifting up what we needed to, and we still were able to process all of these bills. And thank you to staff for all of the paper, all of the carts, all of the moving pieces. So thank you to everybody for this. And next week our plan is to, here we have floor at 11 next week, I believe, and then we recess, we all go to caucus, and then we would come back and hear at 1 and take up our next round of budget bills at 1 o'clock. And then we all are going back to the floor, I believe, after that to take up our calendared bills for the day. And so our goal would be to have our work happen between 1 p.m. and when we have to go to the floor, which I believe is at 3:30. That's the plan. We have far, far less bills. We have scheduled for Monday. Committee Administrator Worth will send this out later today. So we'll have the taxes bill, the elections bill, workforce development, and economic development bill. And so that'll be our plan. And then as things progress, we'll have meetings, I believe, Tuesday at 9 a.m. and then TBD on Wednesday and Thursday of next week. And we will keep the minority in the loop on anything that comes up that changes as much as our members too, so that everybody knows what the plan is for next week. So Representative Rarick.
Just really quickly, because I'm on rules too. And so we just calendared a whole pile of incredibly controversial bills that will take a lot of bills. I think it was 8 or 9, of which at least 3 are highly controversial. Some of them we've just discussed in here. So if we don't start until 3:30 in the afternoon and then come back, I mean, we could be going till midnight easy. It's going to be a rough day. So you want us back here at 9 a.m. the next morning?
That's the plan. So we are going to start. We're going to do our bills. I believe that we would get our bills done before we go to floor. So we're not, you know, at 1 p.m. on Monday, we'll take up the 4 bills I mentioned. On Tuesday, the plan is for us to be at 9 a.m. On Tuesday. And then schedule is still TBD on Wednesday and Thursday. And so, and in further discussion about calendar or floor schedule is not mine to have, and so you can certainly take that up with other folks who work more on the floor sessions. So, but that is the schedule for WAYS, and we'll let you know if there's any adjustments to that. And without any further, or did you have another question?
No. Just really quickly. So, okay. You know, the Senate's not in the rest of this week. They canceled everything. They don't have the votes to pass stuff. They, I was actually on the floor today. It was quite interesting because even just procedural motions failed. Things are failing. The wheels have fallen off over there. So I just think that we should really be mindful of that as we're pushing through, like, the rules. We just calendared some of the most controversial bills that we have on the agenda are coming up on Monday. This is not going to be, next week is not going to be fun for anybody. So I think that we should be mindful of that. And, you know, I would personally ask it, not to meet at 9 a.m. after a really, really rough Monday. Monday's going to be really rough. So I don't know if you've got some leeway to, like, make it later, but that's my ask, is can you possibly make it slightly later and as the wheels are kind of falling off of the legislature right now?
So we're scheduled for 9 a.m. on Tuesday. I will communicate with Lead Garofalo if anything changes, as well as obviously public postings. But I think Representative Garofalo and I talk a lot about schedule. We'll continue to have those conversations. But as of now, we're scheduled at 9. And as of now, we're continuing to do our work. The needs of Minnesotans are there. We've heard members of your side talk about very important priorities that you still want to see finished. We feel that same way. We know Minnesotans have unmet needs, and we're going to keep working until we can't work anymore. So with that, we are adjourned.